much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello. The writers of this program are depending on my ethnic but non-threatening voice to explain things they are too lazy to set up traditionally.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
The new platform of the Democrat Party. And by the way, I call it the Democrat Party. It sounds better rhetorically, you know. I wrote bestsellers. I guess I speak well. You know, we turned away thousands of people. They never say I'm a great speaker. Why the hell do so many people come?
Pretty nifty, Mr. President.
And now,
as the adage says, you give a poor man a fish and you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish. You give him and
Right.
Our feature presentation.
Welcome to my life.
He gave up.
Just quit?
He just gave
up. Just walked away?
It was like, remember when President Bush got caught in the quagmire of fool me once,
mm-hmm.
fool me twice?
That was the best.
It was the same sort of thing with this poor guy on TV trying to make that fish analogy.
Oh, wow.
Feel for him.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 16th of July.
What's up, fam?
Banging.
So banging, huh?
Continuously. What are you talking about?
You hanging, Kevin?
I'm hanging.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, hanging and banging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're running on all cylinders now. Now, listen. First of all, welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
Same
this
to
is
you.
A welcome back to you guys. Welcome back to the audience. Although mm-hmm. I hope you were with us for the best of. But this is an all new live show for after vacation. And there are a couple of things I wanted to bring up right at the start here because we were not on to discuss, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but, you know, one of the reasons we have a radio show, at least I do, is so that I can talk about things that I want to talk about. And mm-hmm. no one will listen to me in my real life.
Yeah, it's
so,
true.
So I need this radio show to be able to express feelings.
The reason I do it is so I can make fun of Bean when he expresses feelings.
Right.
Right, right.
So the two things I just wanted to bring up real quick are the World Cup, first of all. Which concluded yesterday with stupid France winning.
Greatest World Cup of all time.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you, Kevin, is, first of all, I'm sure you regretted every minute that you weren't there because you love going to the World Cup.
It was driving me crazy.
Well, you were scared off by, and we've talked about this on the show before. You were scared off by Russia, but here's the question that I have for you. It's inconceivable to me that the World Cup went as smoothly as we have been led to believe it went here in America.
I mean, we haven't heard... Have we heard one negative story of somebody? Yeah.
There hasn't been one person beaten up. There hasn't been one person kidnapped. There hasn't been one person robbed. And I'm telling you, forget the World Cup, forget Russia. Any event in any city, in any country in the world where you have that many people going from all over the world, there's something's going to happen. Not one. Now,
so you're again, doubting this completely, that not just, one thing happened.
Well, is it even possible?
Probably not.
If it had happened in Dallas, there would have been people getting robbed and carjacked and kidnapped and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. You're telling me in Russia there wasn't a single incident of a single tourist having any problems over there?
So you're saying pretty strong control of the media. Really?
Yes. Now, the only thing I could think is, and you would know more about this than I did, is that maybe they cordoned off enough area around the stadiums, although that seems difficult because the stadiums were all over the country.
That's what they did in Brazil.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They cordoned off, like, they would circle a venue a mile out
yeah.
with riot police and dogs and everything else. And to get through that, you had to have your ticket and you had to show your passport, blah, blah, blah. But once you got inside... It was relatively safe.
It was relatively safe, right. And I'm wondering if that's what they did so that any bad stuff that happened kind of outside that area and outside of the World Cup media.
It could be.
It just, again, it just doesn't seem even possible that this was the safest, most smoothly. We didn't hear a single problem with people not being able to get into the stadium because of tickets.
That's
or,
true.
Or counterfeit tickets because it was oversold. I mean,
this was the perfect World Cup,
the
everyone.
Perfect World Cup.
Well, that's great.
It was in Russia. What the hell? All right. So I hate to be conspiracy Bean, but thing one is what the hell really went on in Russia?
I'm down with that because obviously something had to happen.
Something went down there. My guess is there were thousands of people that were kidnapped that we'll never hear from again. And then they kidnapped all of their families on the outside of Russia.
Oh, I see.
So that we don't even know that they're gone.
Okay.
Okay, thing two. That group of men and boys they found living in that cave that hadn't been seen for hundreds of years. They discovered
those
them.
Those kids hadn't been seen for hundreds of years?
That civilization that was living in a cave, those weird cave people that they brought out. You guys heard about that story in Thailand.
I believe it was a soccer team.
Is that, they played soccer even though they grew up they in didn't, a
okay,
world.
Okay, I was thinking I missed a huge story.
No. The kids that got rescued.
And how?
You dummy.
And what happened to the women? How do they have all those kids?
It wasn't
on that island or wherever they were. And
that's
yet
not, that's
no
not.
Women, yet they had one dude and 13 boys.
He was a coach. They were a team. Well, and they just got stuck in there. They went in there when the water was low and the water came back up.
They discovered soccer on their own, separate from the rest of civilization? That's remarkable. What did they eat, by the way?
For the first
10 days that they were in there, we've heard virtually nothing about that time except that the coach taught them meditation to keep them calm.
Mm-hmm.
12 13-year-olds meditating, first of all, BS. Second of
all,
he's
not believing anything.
Jeez. I'm not. Look, I have questions. We have heard nothing. And I know the kids are still in the hospital, but they are talking to people and they're making videos and everything like that. What did they do with their time 24 hours a day for 10 full days in that cave before they got found? What did they eat? What did they drink? Why did nobody kill the fattest kid?
No, you don't know that they didn't. That answers what did they eat.
Yeah, I wonder what they drank. They were surrounded by water.
I didn't know I didn't hear that the water was potable. Is that the word, potable?
Sure.
Okay. So, was there a fat kid that they ate that we didn't even hear about?
I assume so.
There Maybe? Always is.
There
on
always
soccer
is.
Team.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that fat kid. It's just a backup meal.
It's
just in case. You never know.
Right. They tell him he's a backup goalie.
Right.
He's actually a backup meal.
Right.
I want to know what went on and how desperate that must have been because, let's face it, at day three, you're convinced you're never getting out of that.
Yeah,
cave
I assume
alive,
so
right?
too. Yeah.
So how did they not? How do they not make a dumb decision to try to get out of the cave because they realize, hey, if we stay in the cave, we're going to die. I know it's scary, but one of us has to swim out of this cave and find out what's going on. Like there's so many, and I guess that's why they're going to make a movie is going to be able to they're going to be able to flesh out.
Can you imagine being that one dude with 13 boys?
And wouldn't
that would suck.
Like everybody's like, what was that coach thinking? Like that's everyone's thought.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
Why would you bring them into this cave? What were you doing?
And especially with their big sign out front that says, don't go in, it might flood and stuff. And thank you, Allie, for reminding me of my final point, and then I'll let us get on with the new show here. And that is, I feel like if that had happened in America, several parents of those kids would already have filed a lawsuit against that soccer coach.
Absolutely.
Oh, I assume so, yeah.
For putting that kid in danger. There hasn't been a whisper of any kind of mistake that coach made. Everybody is just like, we're just happy they're alive. And that's a weird attitude for an American to see. Because we are all about placing blame.
Absolutely.
And suing people because they did a dumb thing.
Right.
But want to know who ate that fat kid.
Right?
That's what we want
answers. Who ate the fat kid, exactly.
Well, they all did is the answer to that.
So that's just remarkable to me that everybody's just like, oh, you risked 13 kids' lives? Or 12, whatever it was.
It was 13 before the fat kid got eaten.
So good on you. I mean, essentially is what they're saying. Ah, don't even worry about it. You risked all of their lives and made a terrible decision. They all almost died. Fine.
Welcome it worked
back.
Out.
It worked out.
Stop
right?
complaining.
So it's just, it's so different how we do things over here, right?
Yeah, correct.
All right, I had to get those things off my chest, you guys.
All right, so you do that in your personal life and no one cares, no one answers, or there's no one there?
most of the time, there's no one there.
Okay.
I thought Donna would come back.
Sure.
But so far, no.
Well, I mean, we have been telling you that for about 16 years.
You have, yes.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You guys are wasting a lot of time talking about complete nonsense.
Agreed. All right, great news on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
I like to do that on Mondays because, you know, it's a tough day to get back to work. This makes you feel a little bit better. We're going to talk conspiracy theories. I always love this.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan Holliday, apparently she believes in everything that has ever been, you know, said. anything that's been said that's a conspiracy she's in.
Really?
She, love it.
Well, she says that she's just open to both sides.
Right.
But I think in many cases, like the flat earthers, you just have to say it's okay to say one is right and one is wrong. Mm-hmm. She's not willing to do that. She likes to keep her options open.
Oh.
What if the earth isn't round?
Right.
Is where Megan Holliday comes down.
Love okay. that. Love it. More stories from our vacation, which we just got back from. And Trey Borzillier? Close? Barbara Schroeder in studio talking about Evil Genius, the true story of America's most diabolical bank heist, which is insane.
Insane, right?
No idea all this stuff happened.
Same.
I just thought, strapped to a pizza guy, boom, blows up. So much more.
So much more.
Oh.
The whole Erie, Pennsylvania is just full of crazy people.
Oh, it is janky, right?
So that's going to be fun. We're going to have them in a little bit later on this morning. And we've got your passes for Comic-Con that you can win in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Is this the time where the lady does the what's happening thing?
I don't yeah. remember.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's try it.
The lady's name is Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Hi.
And she does... What's happening?
Very nice to meet you.
You are.
I am Bean.
Bean.
Please say hello to Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
And that's Chip, that tiny person in the corner.
Don't see her. Oh, she just jumped.
That
there
is
she is.
Just to wave a flag for us to know where she is in the studio. All right, what's going on?
Well, we've been talking a little bit about some soccer mm-hmm. on the air, off the air. What if you were waiting to see Jay-Z and Beyonce in Paris?
Okay.
But the game is happening.
Ah.
And they're showing it on the monitors. Wouldn't you think, maybe if it went to overtime something, would they delay the game? We don't have to wonder because it didn't happen, but don't you think
would they delay the game?
Or not the game, I'm sorry, the concert.
I was going to say, that's the only...
I mean, they're pretty big, yeah. but not that big.
Yeah, I would think they would.
Right? Because don't you think Jay-Z and Beyonce would be like, listen, we're in France.
We're in France, right.
Let's see this thing out.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, they didn't have to do it, but they went on almost immediately after they won. Which, could you have a better audience?
Yeah, no kidding.
How pumped are those people in the stands that they're now national treasures? And they're seeing our national treasures.
Our king and queen.
Our king and queen, Jay-Z and Beyonce up there.
And it's Bastille Day weekend, too, which is already a super, super party weekend in France.
I mean,
yeah, they had
France.
The best weekend ever.
Yeah, that picture of their president.
Jumping up and down on the, that was counter?
Like,
so
on
great.
On press row, it looked like.
So
where
great.
He was. It is such a great picture. Then did you watch his wife and him just hugging every player as they went by?
Is that his wife? I thought that was the Prime Minister of Croatia.
She was the Prime Minister of Croatia as well. No, the woman that was next hugging all the players.
As they gave him their medals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was the Prime Minister of Croatia. I could be wrong.
Bean?
I could be.
I didn't see that part. I'm sorry. Although...
He's a blonde, like...
I will tell you this. There's
lady. I thought that was his wife.
Again...
Can the Prime Minister of Croatia be blonde?
His wife, yes. His
could
wife,
also be his wife. I don't know.
Is quite a bit older than he is, and that may have
it was
led
the
to
Prime
conclusion.
Minister of Croatia.
It was the Prime Minister of Croatia,
right?
Who he is married to, which
he's
is
not
so
married to her. No,
bizarre.
I don't think so.
Starting off the week well, you guys. Starting
yes,
off the
yes,
week.
Chip.
It is still soccer.
It is. I do
it
wanna,
is still soccer.
I do want to ask you this question. Did you guys, and you didn't see it being clearly, but it started raining when
yes.
they were giving out the medals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So the FIFA president was standing there getting rained on.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was getting rained on except.
And then Vladimir Putin had a guy behind him with an umbrella.
Well.
Who was blocking the rain for him.
Absolutely.
Then the president of France was getting soaked.
Yeah.
And then the prime minister of Croatia was getting
there was
soaked.
One umbrella in Moscow. And Putin got it.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, dear. All right, so it was the president
yeah.
of France
yes.
and the prime minister of Croatia.
Yes, that's why she was hugging them so much, because she
thought,
was so proud of
I
them.
I thought, how lovely is his wife just to hug all these players? And I was like, get it,
it was
girl.
The president of Croatia.
The president, okay.
I mean, can we start over?
No, we're not on the air yet.
Jay-Z and Beyonce won the World Cup.
Right.
You guys.
That's my takeaway, too.
That should right. be yours as well.
I 100% do not, uh-huh. repeat, do not have World Cup fever.
Okay.
Just stop it.
All right.
It's over.
So. Might be the last World Cup story, but Conor McGregor was at the World Cup final yesterday. Did you see him?
Did not.
He was a guest of a young man named Vladimir Putin.
Mm.
The UFC star posted a picture yesterday with Russia's president with the caption, "Today I was invited to the World Cup final as a guest of Russian President Vladimir Putin."
But he ended it right there and didn't say anything flowery and over the top,
no,
right?
No. This man is one of the greatest leaders of our time.
Okay.
And I was honored to attend such a landmark event alongside him. Then he ended with, "Go Russia," written in Russian, apparently not aware that they weren't in the final, that they were knocked out in the quarterfinals. Connor.
Yeah.
Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, Connor is the one that fought a bus, correct?
Like yes, he did.
He threw
a chair at a bus. Yeah.
Fight a bus.
Yeah, he's got problems.
Holly, it's very fashionable right now to believe that Vladimir Putin is one of the greatest leaders of all time. You hear that from a lot of people in the news.
Just Connor and our president and the GOP.
Right.
I mean, other...
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I mean, he...
Yeah.
Google some of the, you know, atrocities he has done to his people. Connor, you're a dick. Anywho.
By the way, one thought on Vladimir Putin. Every time you saw him, didn't you think, that is a one-man party right there? No one has less fun.
Miserable, isn't he?
Everywhere he goes, he's miserable.
And he's so tiny. He can't hear this, can he?
No.
Okay, because he is a tiny, tiny man. And that must be where a lot of it stems from.
Could be.
Right?
Yeah.
He's overcompensating.
Sure.
He probably has a small... Know what I'm saying?
Right. I think we
I'm guessing it's...
Right.
Right? You in?
What does that mean? Am I in?
Are you in with what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I'm in with what you're saying.
All right, guys. We're almost on the air.
If you're in, call now.
Nope.
1-800.
We need a vacation.
Really? Hey, guys, coming up, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis. Some stuff went down at the Hollywood Palladium.
Can't wait.
Including some special guests. And Bruce Willis ended the whole thing with one of the, well, dare I say, one of the most hotly debated questions of our time.
Okay.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Wow.
We will tackle that and other tough issues, like who was the lady hugging all those players? Coming up in just a little bit.
Did you notice that her shirt was all Croatian? It looked just like the
it
Croatian.
It sure was. It was the Croatian team jersey.
Checkers,
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if you noticed that.
I thought that was weird that Macron's wife would have put that on.
Okay.
But I thought she just really loves players.
You need a handler.
To be honest, I was on a plane.
Okay.
I wasn't listening to it.
Okay.
But I should have figured that out. You don't need volume to know it's not France.
I mean, she was wearing
right.
the Croatia. Okay.
Listen, I'm not proud of myself.
Okay, we're going on the air in 15 seconds.
Okay. Phoebe Cates, happy birthday. Will Ferrell, Corey Feldman, Stuart Copeland, Michael Flatley, Annalyn McCord, and Ed Kowalczyk. And that's what's happening.
It is Comic-Con week in San Diego at the Convention Center, happening this week and this weekend. We have tickets you can win in about 20 minutes or so. It's a trip of a lifetime. It's a dream come true for so many people. A lot of people try to go to Comic-Con, can't get tickets, always sells out.
It's crazy fun.
It is crazy. But we are giving away a pair in about a half an hour or less from right now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. So, Kevin, I'm stunned to see you. Because
you're always stunned to see me for one reason or another,
especially on Mondays. But because the last time we saw you, you were like, guys, A, we're going on vacation, but B, I need to leave early because I'm in the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas. And I thought, well, that's it. This is the year Kevin finally wins it all and ghosts us. He just doesn't come back because he wins like $28 million or something like that. And boy, does he get the last laugh.
Yeah, I don't really I didn't play in the main event, which is the one where they make $8 million. Mine's much smaller.
Oh,
it's a much smaller event. Like there's a new tournament every day for 30 days or something like that, leading up to the main event that you see on ESPN.
Oh.
So you won, obviously, but you didn't win enough to walk away from this dog and pony.
Are you saying I got number one?
Yeah. That's okay. I just assumed.
I mean, I didn't get number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But all you want to do really is make money. You want to make some money.
Right.
It does cost $1,000, most of them $1,500 to buy in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The main event is $10,000, so nobody... I mean, I don't want to do that, but there's so many people to do that. So you spend the money, you get in there, and you walk into a convention center hall, and there's poker tables as far as you can see. And every year it's the same thing. You go, what are my chances in a room this big, and people come truly do come from all over the world to play in this, what are the chances that I'm going to even get close to making money? So I'll tell you the total number of people that played my tournament, 2,190.
Whoa.
Top 300 make money.
Okay.
So you could beat, you know, 1,700 of them and not get money. So that's the big risk, is that you want to play for a long time, but then you also want to get to the point where you actually make money.
Right.
So I talked to my, I'm giving myself a pep talk. Look, why not? Why not you, Kevin? How come you can't do it? If somebody's going to do it, why can't it be me?
Right.
I have to pep myself up like that.
Sure.
So I go in and I start playing, and you know, you're intimidated by people that are sitting around you, but then you just start playing and you do the best you can. And I make it all the way through lunch, and I think, okay, good, good. Mm-hmm. I make it through dinner. I'm like, all right, this is going pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's 550 people or something like that at dinner.
Okay.
So all I have to do is get 300, and I'm doing pretty well. And then Chris Ferguson comes and sits at my table. Now, I know if you don't play poker, you don't have any idea who he is, but he's a guy who wears a cowboy hat, and he behind him on the wall when he sat at my table was a giant 100-foot banner with his face and World Series of Poker Player of the Year 2017.
Oh, no.
Right over him.
What was over your – what was your banner?
I didn't have a banner.
No? Oh, nothing.
So much as nothing, right?
Okay.
So now the unsureness of yourself, now you really start to doubt yourself.
But like, hold on a second. What about the famous Kevin pep talk?
Yes. Today I won. Here's my ring. I'm the winner. I won. That's it. I did well. Who did well? I did.
I mean, you should have been hearing that echoing around your big head.
So he sits down, and I know that they break up tables a lot and move people around stuff. So I just think to myself, don't go up against him, because he clearly knows what he's doing so much more than me. No matter what I do, he'll know exactly what I'm doing.
And he can read your mind. Yes. He's that good.
So it comes around to me, and I have two of the best things that you can have. I have position, I was on the button, and I had an ace-king suited, which those two things you go, I'm so going to win this pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I looked at Chris Ferguson and I was like, I have position on him and I have an ace king and I'll play a hand against Chris Ferguson. That's
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I started panicking.
Oh, no.
And I was like, but if I bet money, then he's going to take it from me. It doesn't matter that I have position and an ace king. Somehow he's going to beat me. So I sat there for probably, he raised, so it came around to me. Mm-hmm. And I sat there for probably a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just like a beaten little puppy, I just put my cards down and folded.
What?
I'm an embarrassment to myself, to my family, and to this country.
Would you have won that hand?
It's impossible to tell.
Okay.
But I had a pretty good chance.
Oh, man.
And then, so there was the part of me that was saying, don't do this because you want to continue and do well in this tournament and he'll take your money. And then there was the other part where it's how many people get to play in a hand with this great of a player.
Right.
Yeah, but that side of me didn't necessarily win.
Wow.
So I folded. About 50 minutes later, he got up and left. And I hated myself for the rest of the time.
Oh, man.
Because I'm such a chicken.
Kenny Rogers hates you.
Right?
Oh.
I didn't even think about that.
Good reference, Allie. So wait, forgive me. So is that, that's not how your day ended, though?
No,
right? You're still in, okay.
Yeah, so it's after dinner, and it's only 500 left, and I think, oh, I only need to make it to 300, I'll make money. I make it to 300, so I'm going to make money.
Okay.
They stop the tournament, they make sure everybody is counted for, and then they go, okay, everybody's still playing, makes money. So I think, great, I made the money, this is awesome.
Okay.
So then it got to 250 contestants, and then it got to 225, then it got to 200. I was like, I'm gonna break 200 out of 2,190.
Amazing.
I've never done that well. And I keep looking at the board, and you see people just busting out, and you see the number keep going down.
Have you ever been in a top 10% of any category ever, Kevin?
No.
Okay, so this really is big for you.
Of course. Like, I've made money at the World Series of Poker, but just the least amount where you just barely like the top, like 250 to 300. I've gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But now never. You're 200, though.
Now I'm 200, and then 175, and 150, and then 100.
No, sir.
Oh, no.
Whoa. So then I start thinking, I'm going to win this thing.
Oh, no.
And I sort of have to win this thing because of the whole Chris Ferguson debacle.
Right.
But are you still a chicken? No, you quit? Do you fold up your tent and just walk away
at
this
point? I do
not,
my friend. I do
not. Okay. Wow. So he's Kevin is in it to win it, you guys.
Played 90th, 80th. I'm sorry, not 80th. 81st.
Okay.
I go out and I win five times what I paid.
Nice. Oh.
It's the best I've ever done.
That's
so
excellent.
Wait, so $5,000?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
Check you out.
On my first day of vacation.
Not
in
bad.
Vegas, where I'm staying for a week, $5,000 cash. So this
now
is
you're walking around with a bankroll.
This is true, though. I so didn't want to give it back that I went to a branch of my bank and I deposited it.
Who are you?
Right?
Yeah.
Boo!
That's the best I've ever done.
That is not the Kevin that we know.
Right, I'm growing up.
A lot of girls were crying at Crazy Horse.
Yeah, they're not going to get to college now.
They're just fine, trust me. Don't worry about that.
All right, you did check in on them. Good.
So how about that? I actually did pretty well.
It's impressive.
I was very impressed with myself, except for the Chris Ferguson debacle.
Yeah, right. But by the way,
what a loser.
But you played through that and ended up making a ton of money.
Sure,
so
but what a loser.
But does this make you feel in any way, shape, or form that you ought to be at the big table? Do you look at this success and go, you know what? I can compete. Maybe next year I'll try for the main event.
I can't understand paying $10,000 to play poker. $1,000 is a lot.
It's a lot of money.
So
yeah.
10 grand?
But you've already earned four that you could put toward that.
Yeah, but still like another six. I don't know. I can't. And I had friends there who were, or they play every year, and they're like, come on, stay, stick around. I was like, well, I am going to be here, but no, I don't have.
You're a baller.
I can't spend 10 grand. I mean, your odds in that tournament where there are about 8,000 people.
Right.
Are
and,
so much slimmer.
And 6,000 of them are Chris Ferguson-like
right,
players.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, congratulations, ladies.
Did pretty well. Banked my money. How about
that?
I am a grown-up. We don't have time for Omar now, do we?
No.
Omar pretty much kicked the outdoors ass.
Oh, yeah. I'm like a great outdoorsman now. I'm like more manly than Nick Offerman is now.
We'll get to that later today on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Kevin DeBean Show broadcasting live from San Diego House of Blues Thursday and Friday morning. You can be there and enjoy all that is Comic-Con in about 5 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We'll tell you how you can win. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, how about some great news? Oh, I thought I gave you the pause there. I thought we were on track. Nope, not now.
Okay.
You knew it was coming. No, stop the echo. You knew it.
Wait, hold on. Honestly, I don't.
He doesn't know.
I undid it now. There should be no echo on you.
Okay.
There is.
Chip.
Why is it doing that?
I don't know.
What's happening? I literally can't turn it off, meaning you're just going to have to talk like that.
I feel like you're making that up. Oh, she
got
it. Okay.
Okay, good.
All right. So you knew it was coming. You knew we were doing the feat. Okay, not yet. Wait.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I said, it's time for, and then I gave it a huge pause, and then I said, great news, there was nothing. Okay, that wasn't the time, though. That was just me telling you about the time.
I see, okay.
Okay.
You want to try again?
Now it's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! All right, Allie, what do you have for us?
Well, you were going first.
Was I? Was I first? I thought you were first.
All right, Bean, what do you got for us?
I'll tell you what I got for you. This story came out of Pasco County, Florida. Gene Work is his name, and I don't know the backstory, the details on why he was in this kerfuffle with his homeowners association, but apparently he was getting ready to be massively fined for not having his front yard installed. They were doing some work, and it was empty, and I guess it was one of these things where they said, look, you can't just have bare dirt in your yard. You've got to put the lawn down, and you've got to put it down by this date. So he's out there in the hot sun working as hard and as fast as he can to beat this deadline and get his grass installed in front of his house when he has a massive heart attack.
Oh, no.
Bad deal. Here's the Facebook post from his wife, Melissa. I don't know how to start this, but please read this and please share. Before my husband had his massive heart attack, he was working on the sod with my amazing brother-in-law. That's what triggered and set it off. We had just released our last four pallets. We were going to finish it up. It's been my husband's biggest stress as our homeowners association date to find us a huge amount was getting closer. While he was having a heart attack, literally in and out of consciousness, he kept begging me to figure out the sod and have it put down because he didn't want it to go to waste and die.
Wow.
It's all he kept asking about literally during his heart attack. I calmed him down and kept saying, Jesus will help us. It's okay. Jesus will figure this out. By the way, is that true? Could we source that? We were sent off to the hospital, and my incredible brother-in-law, who witnessed the heart attack, stayed back with my two-year-old niece. He was planning on staying there by himself until midnight to get it finished. He finished getting the old grass out and then began laying a few rows of the new sod. As he was laying it, and here's where it turns into great news, you guys. As he was laying it.
He had a heart attack.
No, that would not be great news.
And the two-year-old finished. Amazing.
That would be amazing. He heard huge trucks driving back down the road. He turned around and saw the fire truck and the ambulance coming back to the house. He was confused. He thought maybe they were coming back to check on him. Before he knew it, there were seven firefighters and EMTs jumping out of their vehicles, putting on gloves and saying they came back because they knew my husband was in serious trouble and they wanted to finish the sod so that it didn't die.
Wow.
They knew he wouldn't be able to do any work for weeks, so they came back. They saved his life, they dropped him off, and then they cared enough to save our grass. They didn't know anything about the homeowners association. They didn't know anything about the fine. They didn't know that this is Melissa writing now, I'm fighting for my own life during a bone marrow transplant I'm scheduled for next month. All they knew is that my husband needed to finish the yard, and they came back and did it.
So they came, they took him to the hospital, and then they went back and fixed his yard.
Then they went back and donated bone marrow to the wife. These guys
the story
are amazing.
Has everything.
And by please, bone marrow.
Right? Please help these men be honored. Please help us find them so we can thank them. So this is, again, this is the firefighters and EMTs of Pasco County, Florida. You talk about going above and beyond, and that is why that is great news.
And that was Florida, you guys.
Right? I know. See? You don't expect that in Florida.
Bean goes to Florida for every single thing we need. And they have it.
Amazing. Well, we all know, well, I don't, and Chip doesn't, but your wedding day is the most memorable day of your life, right? So it can be really devastating if something goes wrong. Like if you're trying to have your wedding at the beach where you and your husband had your first date, and it's all you've ever wanted was this big wedding on this beach with all your family and friends, and you are sitting in your car because it is torrential downpours. It will not stop raining. All of your guests are sitting in their cars just waiting for it to kind of stop, a little break in the weather. Well, that is what was happening to Dulce Gonzalez and her husband, Ariel. This is in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
Anywho, someone else was watching that day. 67-year-old Cynthia Strunk. Her and her husband had been watching the preparations earlier in the morning when it wasn't raining because they have a house right by there. They bought the house in 99. They've seen weddings happen all the time, but they've never seen rain like this on someone's wedding day. Ironic.
I was just waiting. Sorry. How long it was going to take to get to that joke.
So Cynthia goes out to the car where the bride is, knocks on the window and says, listen, do you want to have it in my house? All of you come in. Just give me 15 minutes to just tidy things up.
15 minutes.
And we'll be set. And the mom of the bride starts sobbing and was dying. So she goes back in the house, tidies up. She has a ton of family reunions there. So she had a bunch of chairs. She decorated one of the rooms with a bunch of crafts and stuff that she had. Looked like it was ready for a wedding when this family all comes in. It was one of the most beautiful days that they've ever had, just looking out onto the beach from their front window. So they still had their beach wedding. But it was this wonderful woman that opened up her home to a bunch of strangers just sitting in a car waiting to have a wedding.
She did make them go out and lay the sod, though.
She didn't know that was
different
Bean's story.
Different state.
Yes. They have kept in touch on social media. This all happened the last week in June. And on top of it, this family said, if you guys ever have a child, I'd love for you to bring your kid back here to see where their marriage started. Like,
wow.
This family. Just
wow, what
wonderful.
A stalker she is.
A little bit. Do you think she had that room ready? She's like, one day it's going to rain. And I'm just going to have this
practically
family.
Kidnapping.
You can have your honeymoon in our room. It's fine. sets up cameras. Why am I doing this?
I'm not
Why?
Positive. I don't know for sure.
This is my great, I had great
it.
News.
Yeah. I mean, you ended a little weak, but all right.
All right.
My story is Children's Hospital Los Angeles. Have you guys ever been there?
Unbelievable.
It is super incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
It's really, they do amazing stuff. And they got a $20 million donation for their emergency room.
Wow.
It's one of the largest donations in the hospital's history. The money will go toward the expansion of the waiting room of the emergency room, 11 additional patient bays, which will raise their ability by 30%, and all kinds of high-tech equipment, all stuff like
sure.
that. So they're going to start working on it, and they're going to make it a much better emergency room. And the part of this for me that is great news is because we always seem to sort of vilify people who have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
This is an anonymous gift. So somebody gave $20 million to Children's Hospital Los Angeles
yeah.
and said, don't need my name out there.
Yeah, I don't want the kudos.
It's
yeah.
anonymous. $20 million.
Maybe that money was stolen.
From, like, drug dealers?
You may ever think about that is maybe they just don't want to turn the authorities' attention on where'd you get all that money you didn't report.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bean.
Oh. And that's by what I thought was going to be great news.
All right, you guys, Comic-Con is happening. We promised you could join us with a one-day pass to the San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center this weekend. We are looking for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. What can we say about this game, except that if you know and love comic book movies,
yes.
I think this one's for you, right? You're at every Marvel, you're at every DC, you go to those movies, you know those movies, you love those movies, you're who we're looking for, and you got to be able to go to Comic-Con this week, all right? So keep that in mind when you call, because we don't want to give this ticket to somebody who doesn't. 1-800-520-1067, we'll play a game with you next on K-Rock. Some of the highlights of this year's Comic-Con in San Diego, by the way, include a celebration of the 10th anniversary of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, 25 years of the X-Files, Jurassic Park franchise, 50 years of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's classic book Frankenstein. That's why you're going, right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
For the Frankenstein panel. You got to be there, you guys. 1-800-520-1067. We're giving away tickets for San Diego Comic-Con right now with a game that we like to call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to
Comic-Con.
All right, our first contestant, let's say hello to Rob. He is in HB. He is on line one, please.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, you guys?
Rob, I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but are you familiar with how Title Fight works?
You know what? Not so. Not
okay.
So much. I listen to the show all the time.
Basically, what's going to happen is you're going to have your choice to pick either Dave or Allie as your partner, and they're going to be trying to get you to say the name of comic book movies. Now, they can't describe the movie. They're just describing the words in the title of the movie. So then you have to come up with that, and as fast as you can, there's 45 seconds on the clock. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. 45 seconds on the clock, and you're trying to come up with five names. I will give you a hint, since you're not 100% familiar with this game. Always pick Allie, never pick Dave. But it's completely up to you who you'd like to be your partner.
Okay, I'll pick Allie.
All right. And Rob, just so you know, you can say pass, and we can go into the next one.
And then go back if you need
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
All right, so in your head right now, you should be thinking, all right, I'm looking for comic book movies based on Allie's clue. Any other questions before we start?
Nope.
All right, good luck, sir.
And go.
Not woman, but...
Wonder Woman.
No, it's not a woman, but a...
Wasp.
No, the opposite of woman is a...
man.
Yes, so that's the first word. So then if you have something like a metal...
Iron Man.
No. Okay, let's skip that one. You're the head of a hospital. You're not a nurse, but you're a...
doctor.
Yes, and then you're weird.
Strange.
Put them together.
Dr. Strange?
Yes.
There you go!
Okay, woo-hoo! This thing, an arachnid.
A spider?
Yes. Next word, not a woman.
Man.
Yes!
Come on!
Jesus Christ!
Holy crap!
It's over?
Yeah.
God damn it.
What happened?
I mean,
Rob, you said spider and man, and you couldn't put them together.
Oh, Allie.
I'm sorry.
Still can't use the S word.
It's been 2 weeks.
All right. Allie just cursed.
I didn't
hear when the buzzer hit. Did he get the second one in? Did he just get Dr. Strange? Yeah. Or did he get some? Oh, so he got two. Yeah. He got two.
He got Dr. and Strange, but I'm not positive he ever put them together.
And that was Man of Steel. It was a man and then a metal.
It's the hardest game in the world.
So when Allie says not a woman, your answer shouldn't be Wonder Woman?
Okay. I'm going to be honest, Rob.
Listen, Rob, you could still win, and I love you.
But I hope you don't, because you don't know anything about
it. I like Rob.
Books or movies.
All right. Let's say hi to West Covina's Mac, who must be laughing his ass off at this point.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Turn of the Mac. You got this.
What are you doing?
Oh, what do you mean, Allie? She got him to say spider and man, and he couldn't put those together.
Who are you, Mac?
Are you serious?
All right, listen.
I always loved you and everything else. No, but I'm going with
that
Dave.
I got to tell you, that was not on Allie.
Of course it was not. Sweetheart, that was all on Rob. I know it's hard for you to get that through your head right now, but go back and listen to it.
Look, I wouldn't be bragging if I was a guy who just has Dave as a partner, okay? Because this may not go as well for you as you think it is.
Jerk. Better know your movies, because I'm going to be on point.
45 seconds on the clock. Any questions, Mac, before we hit go?
No, sir. We're good to go. Let's do it.
All right.
And go.
All right. Nightlight, but... Say not light. It's not light. It's the opposite of light.
Heavy.
Not opposite of bright.
Bright.
Yeah. If it's
dark.
Yes.
Dark night.
Yes. Woo. All right. This is a color, and this is a cat.
Color and a cat.
Yeah. It's a dark color.
Pass.
Oh, my God. All right. This is an iron and the opposite of woman.
Oh!
Can't say iron. Keep going.
This is a color and it's a light. You use these as a light and a...
What?
Come on! Dude, it's a color.
Yeah! Time is up! Rob, we can still do this!
Wow!
He got one!
He only got one!
No, I blew it. Yeah. Well, no, he blew it. I'm blaming Mac.
Wait!
Yeah, Mac, you suck!
Wait, Rob won?
Yes, Rob won.
Rob won!
Yeah, let me tell...
You did not deserve it, but you won!
Allie, you threw me off!
Is Mac still on the line, by the way?
Yes, he is.
It was the Dark Knight, and the color in the cat was Black Panther.
Yeah, so I blame it on Mac.
That's on Mac, man.
Why not go like Jungle Cat or something?
Hey, why don't you just go with the clues you're given? For somebody who's mouthing off.
You know where he's not going?
Good God. All right, listen, Rob, congratulations. Stop on by if you can. We'll be broadcasting live from the House of Blues San Diego Thursday and Friday. Have a great time, and thank you for playing Title Fight on K-Rock.
The worst one ever. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
I don't want to say that our friend Megan Holliday here at K-Rock is gullible.
I'll say it. She's gullible.
She did a podcast recently with a guy who runs a conspiracy theory podcast. He has his own podcast called Tinfoil Hat, and it's all about conspiracy theories. And he was just dropping them one right after another, and she licked it up, man. She could die. Oh, really? Drake killed XXX Tentacion? I'm down. You know what I mean? Like, whatever he said.
Nothing was questioned?
Nothing was questioned. She's just, she believes everything.
Huh.
So we'll discuss her various conspiracy theories. A lot of them involve aliens, you guys. I think it's going to be fun. That's coming up the next half hour or so here on K-Rock. First, though, back from vacation. It's Monday morning, 6:53. Allie, what's happening?
I've been out of the loop with movies over this vacation. Have no idea what's even out. No idea that Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation would lead the weekend box office with $44 million. That's the voice cast of Adam Sandler, Selena Gomez, Andy Samberg. It matched the performance of its two predecessors, apparently Hotel Transylvania 1 and 2. That's a pretty decent opening, $44 million.
That's huge.
Yeah. Marvel's latest superhero adventure, Ant-Man and the Wasp, took the number two spot, only making $29 million in its second weekend. That's a 62% drop from its $76 million opening. But, Kevin, you helped that out by seeing it how many times?
I mean, I saw it three times.
Okay. Because it was hard to follow?
No, I mean, I went first. Uh-huh. I asked my kids if they wanted to go.
Okay.
And they both said, no, we got plans.
Right.
So I went by myself. And
okay.
And then one of my kids said, oh, my plans fell through. And I was like, I'll go with you. And same thing with the other one. So I went three times. And let me just say this. Entertaining every time.
Did you see things you didn't notice?
Yes, totally.
Maybe you were laughing too hard at one point. Okay. All right.
I thought it was really funny and really well done.
Excellent. In third place, the blockbuster Skyscraper, that is The Rock's movie. Mm-hmm. It didn't quite meet studio expectations and some mixed reviews. It opened with $25.4 million, which is a slight problem, I guess, because it cost $120 million to make. And Incredibles 2 came in fourth place with $16.2 million in ticket sales. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom fell to number 5 on the charts as well. You guys paying any attention to Elon Musk on Twitter?
He is melting down.
Wow!
Oh, really?
For a guy who has a lot of things going for him, he is not handling it well.
He is a thin-skinned man, baby.
Wow.
He really
Maybe he shouldn't
is.
Be on social media.
He needs to take a break. Absolutely. Wow. So I don't know if you were following with the Thailand, the cave and the kids and everything. He was trying to get this submarine built, and it would be this pod, and it would be amazing, and it could save everyone. And he got a lot of pushback from people that were like, dude, don't just bust in here and be like, oh, I'll solve this. Give me time type of thing. And people were saying he's kind of like that guy that after everyone pays, he's like, I'll pay for the check. Like that kind of guy. So he was getting quite a bit of pushback about this. And then it all took it to a whole nother level yesterday because one of the rescuers, a British rescuer, wound up saying, quite frankly, that wouldn't have worked. And here's why. And kind of said all the reasons why. The man is the rescuer. He was in the cave. He's kind of aware of what happened. So maybe you go back and forth with that guy something, or do you just go ahead and call the man a pedo?
I'm sorry?
A pedophilia guy.
Pedophile?
Pedophile.
Yeah.
Or pedophilia guy.
I heard both. It's doubled over. Yeah. You saw the struggle.
Well, is this the same guy, though?
I saw it play on your face. It was so good.
Is this guy, though, who in his opening volley with Elon Musk said he should stick his submarine where it's uncomfortable?
He said this in an
Why
interview.
Why is there so much anger?
In an interview. But this journalist, which we all know Elon doesn't like journalists, said you should watch the video of what he says, to which he said, you know what? Don't bother showing the video. We'll make one of the mini sub pods going all the way to K5, no problemo. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it.
What?
Pedo guy?
So I'm watching this in real time on the plane because I got nothing to do. And so I wrote, did you really just call the rescuer a pedo because you're in your feelings? Because people are somehow coming at you with something that they're saying wouldn't work? Like, what is happening?
I like that somebody, Elon Musk is calling somebody a pedophile and Allie feels the need to jump in.
I did. I was very upset. I was very upset by the whole thing. Well, he has since deleted all that. And the rescuer was asked, are you going to pursue anything? Maybe some litigation? He's like, yep. I hope he sues the crap out of Elon Musk for defamation. Like, people were like, well, let's go get into his life. Because Elon Musk bros are Bernie Bros 2.0.
Oh, is that right?
These dudes put on their capes and they're like, don't you talk about my billionaire scientist like that. They're insane. So everybody, all of his bros started going, well, we don't know if he's not a pedophile. Why is a white man in Thailand?
What?
It's insanity. It is crazy. So Elon Musk, just step away from Twitter for a bit. You've got a lot happening in your life right now. You're sending
a lot
cars
of good.
To space, right. Tubes underground going real fast. Let's concentrate on all the good.
You are right. He is a pretty big asshole.
I mean, it's kind of being revealed that maybe he is.
That's
right?
Odd.
A little bit. I didn't get to it this hour because it's too good. It deserves its own break for what's happening.
Okay.
We need to tackle this Bruce Willis situation. We need to figure out his thoughts on Die Hard being a Christmas movie.
Oh, okay.
We need to figure out who got booed at his roast. Somebody straight up booed. Like, boo, you suck.
Really?
One of the roasters. All right. Martha Stewart up there taking selfies. I mean, there's a lot to tackle. We'll do that next, I promise. Some birthdays for you. Michael Flatley. I mean, Lord of the Dance, you guys.
Right?
Right? He should have his own day. Annalyn McCord, she was on 90210, Nip Tuck, some of the best Hallmark movies. Keep doing what you're doing, Annalyn. Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police. Corey Feldman, Stand By Me, The Goonies. License to Drive.
Michael Jackson impersonator.
Michael Jackson impersonator. Will Ferrell, one of the greatest men to walk the face of the earth. And Phoebe Cates. And that's what's happened.
By the way, Imagine Dragons are in town at the Forum this weekend. We are giving away tickets at 9 a.m. here on The Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, every day this week at 9 a.m. on The Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, you qualify for the grand prize, including a meet and greet with the band, a backstage tour, signed vinyl copies of their album Evolve, and $106 to raid the merchandise booth. If you're an Imagine Dragons fan, that's the best night ever.
Wait, we're giving them $106 to raid the merch booth?
Yes.
So that's like a half a shirt?
You could buy the sticker. Get a sticker for that. Look, it's a good deal on top of everything else. Okay? Right. So that's 9 o'clock this morning. Qualify for all that good stuff. We do the grand prize drawing Friday morning here on K-Rock. Hey, Mrs. Kevin.
Hi, Bean.
Are you stunned that Kevin came back after his big winnings in Las Vegas at the poker tournament?
I'm stunned from a lot of things that happened that week. The fact that he put the money in the bank sounds really sketchy, and I have never seen that, so I don't believe that's
true. That deposit did not show up, did it?
No way.
There's no proof of that?
And it was just, there was too many weird things that whole week that I honestly don't think he was there the whole week.
That's sort of my life, though.
Yeah.
Look, Kevin's recollection of what he does in Las Vegas is suspect on a regular day. But on top of all the excitement of what was going on in the poker tournament, who knows what really went down?
This is what he comes home with. He says, guess what? I bet on France to win the World Cup, and I'm going to make X amount of dollars. I'm like, that's great. Where's your ticket? Oh, I don't know. I don't have a ticket.
All right, I lost that one. But then, turn up. Then 2 weeks ago, I bet him when they were 4-1.
Uh-huh.
And so I have that ticket.
But so, a lot less right money. Now he has that ticket.
No, it was 4-1 at $40. I put $40 on him.
Oh, then you know what? I know what you can do with your winnings. You can donate to Friends and Helpers.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, that is a segue. That is a segue. Yeah.
Thank you.
Twice a year, Melissa comes in to represent the charity that she runs called Friends and Helpers. So you do the Christmas thing, and then this is the back to school. This is adopt a backpack time, right?
Yeah, but we work all year. So if anybody ever wants, we're always working. But these are our two big events.
Explain to people why this is so important to the kids and to the moms.
Well, you know, public schools really have nothing they can give each student. So you go to school with a list of things you're supposed to have. So what we do is we provide all those things. We get the backpacks, the school supplies, snack bags, so that when kids go to school, they don't hide by their lockers. They are ready to learn. They're excited, you know, well, maybe not thrilled, but, you know, happy to be going to school. And they have everything they need, which makes it great for the mom because she's fulfilling what the child needs. And it's great for the kid because they can feel like they fit in with their peer groups.
It's really a difficult time because we deal with domestic violence. So when people leave the family, they have to leave with nothing for the most part. The mom has nothing to give the kids. They go to school. The teachers, for the most part, don't have money to give the kids anything either. So it's a difficult time.
Money is tight all around, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I haven't said in the past, Melissa, when you have told us how many backpacks Friends and Helpers is responsible for every year.
Well, this year we're doing 4,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow, and that's a lot of backpacks.
It's a lot of backpacks. But you know what? A lot of you can come help us in many different ways. Because
you do the online sponsorships, which is great. That's what I like to do at friendsandhelpers.org. But you also have an in-person event at a new location. What is Goodman in Irvine?
Goodman is a global industrial property group that owns, develops, and manages industrial real estate. Now, they have been supporters of ours since 2014. And this is how nice these people are. They're going to give us their whole parking lot. They're going to give you food. They're going to give you pizza. They're going to give you snacks. We're going to have a raffle. We're going to be there from 9 to 12, but let's say you're an early riser. Come at 6 and help us unload trucks. Or, you know, it's Amazon shopping day coming up here. Instead of buy 2 cases of granola bars and send them to us. There's so many ways to help. Go online, buy a snack bag, adopt a backpack.
Okay. So basically, we have a bunch of boxes with a bunch of school supplies, and then everybody lines up, and they get a backpack, and they sort of fill up the backpack with all the stuff.
Yeah. And we have everything that the public school system requests that they have to start school.
And we've done a lot of research on that. We see what everybody needs. And we do backpacks for elementary, junior high, and high school.
So it's August 4th. Really nice. It's August 4th, this August 4th at Goodman in Irvine. And the address is 18201 Van Carmen Avenue, Suite 1170.
You see a lot of people year after year come down and help you for this event.
I do.
Which must be very gratifying. And they obviously see firsthand how cool the organization is and love to be a part of it.
And you know what's great is everybody is welcome. Let's say that you don't have a lot of cash, but you'd like to come down and help us fill backpacks. Come join us. If you are really busy and you think, oh, I've got so much going on with my kids or whatever, do a little activity with your kids and buy some school supplies. Or again, you can go right to our website. It's so easy. We so appreciate it. And as you know, everything we do, 100% of what we bring in goes right back out.
Okay.
I think that's so important to actually focus on because so many charities, you don't know where a lot of that money's going, and sometimes it's not really all going, but your charity's 100% all goes back.
All goes to the cause.
The IRS says 5% has to go. 95% can go to overhead and salaries.
Wow.
And it seems like a giant waste of money to us.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
it does.
We can tell you that half of the back-to-school supplies are in our garage right now. Because there's a little problem. So we make sure that everybody gets what they need. If you, let's say you have a favorite book, you can always buy your favorite book and donate it. There's so many ways to help.
How do you keep Kevin out of the granola bars, by the way, when you're not home, Melissa?
Oh, they're under lock and key.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
All right, let Kevin
have anything.
The live event, again, is August 4th this year at Goodman in Irvine. You can get the address.
And K-Rock will be there.
Yes. K-Rock will be there, too. Friendsandhelpers.org is the website if you want to get more information about the live back-to-school event, or if you just want to participate in all the various other ways that Melissa has mentioned in terms of donations, either cash or merchandise, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Good deal. I hope the K-Rock audience comes through and helps once again this year.
They always do. They're wonderful people. You guys
really
are so lucky. And so many people have come back. And those T-shirts that you guys do, I get at least 50 people wearing one of your limited edition T-shirts and just wonderful, wonderful people who want to help. And I think we could all spread a little good cheer and do this. So, and if you have any questions, it will be me who answers the phone for the next 24 hours for the next month.
Or you can go to the website. It's friendsandhelpers.org. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you to everybody in the K-Rock audience because it is always very
amazing.
Yeah, it's always amazing to see the people that come out. And the people who really, maybe they only have enough to buy a pack of pencils, you know, but they do, and then they bring them down. It's really humbling.
It is. It's lovely. And so many people have come back year after year after year, and now they've got families and they're bringing their 5-year-old to help. It's really, you know, we've been doing it for 27 years, so it's amazing.
I love child labor stories. I know that.
There's a lot of people that have different ideas on what the flat earth is. But what one thing we all agree on is that we don't live on a spinning ball flying through infinite space.
Obviously. Do you feel yourself spinning, wobbling, gyrating? No, I'm pretty rock solid.
We always say, don't believe us. Do your own research. But unless you know there's a question, you're not going to do the research.
Right?
Right. What that guy said. Yes.
Look, I have for many years been deeply in love with Megan Holliday, who does nights here at K-Rock 7 and 11. But I may love her even more now than I did before when I realized that she is a goddamn conspiracy theorist and she's the most gullible woman in the world. She'll believe anything. Megan, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What is happening with you?
Good morning. How's it still on? Is it still on K-Rock?
Yes, great question. I know. We're as shocked as you are. So your thing, and Megan Holliday, by the way, in addition to her nighttime show at K-Rock, she has a wonderful podcast where she interviews interesting people. It's called 7 Words with Megan Holliday, available wherever you get your podcast.
It's really short, though.
No. This podcast is not 7 words long.
Oh.
That's just the name of it.
My bad.
So the most recent episode she has on a conspiracy theorist, the guy who runs his own podcast about conspiracies. And it just seems like you are not just I want to believe. You just refuse to accept that any answer it has been definitively agreed upon. Like all things are still open to you, right?
I would say that I like to consider it all. I would not say that I am fully convinced of any one thing, but I like to consider all things.
But aren't there things like the flat earth that pretty much are 100% disproven by science? Aren't there some where you go,
I mean, Yeah, I'm definitely not like a flat earther or anything like that.
No, they're crazy.
Right, those guys are crazy.
But I can understand why people might, you know, feel that way. Because
that's where we disagree, Megan. You can't understand why people could feel that way. It's been understood for millennia that the Earth is round. There's no time now for somebody to go, it's not, because it just is.
What people get into is that they think, like, well, we're just taking people's word. We're taking scientists' word. We're just believing everything that we're told. But I understand.
I mean, at some point you do have to accept somebody else as an authority on some topic. Right.
And maybe people who have been to space and have photographed a round Earth are the people you should look at as definitive proof.
Have they been?
Yeah.
Have they been in space?
Okay.
Have
and
they?
Speaking of that, Megan, true or false?
Thank you, Conspiracy Alley.
You're welcome.
Yes, and Conspiracy Megan, true or false that you still have at least some doubt in your mind about the granddaddy of all conspiracy theories, which is that man faked his landing on the moon?
Yes, I do have doubts. About that.
What is wrong with you?
You're a miracle.
You're a miracle. How? Why? What? Who? Please explain.
I don't know. You start going down these rabbit holes, and I don't know. Like, there's rumors that, you know, Stanley Kubrick directed it, that you can actually see, like, a Coke can fly, like, go by in the footage of it, like, on the ground. That there's wind blowing, that there's not really, you know, wind on the moon.
This is the best.
I know.
But what about all the people who have been to the moon? What about the people who have stood on the moon?
Oh, yeah, like they did that.
What? Yes, Hallie, they have.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, were paid a lot of money to go and do, you know, and act this out and just pretend like nothing happened.
Let me give you a reverse argument. If...
Okay.
If man didn't go to the moon, so many people would have to have been in on that. In our government, in NASA, everywhere, there's so many people that would have to have been in on it. And there's no way that many people could be involved and no leaks, no anything. It's just, we're not capable of that.
Cigarette smoking man, though.
And right? And it's, you know, and it's possible that we did go, too, you know, but... Mm.
Oh, it is? It's possible?
It's just possible.
It's possible.
She's got an open mind, guys.
They said that they've lost, like, all of the data, you know, from the moon landings. And my question is, like, why have we not gone back? You know?
Right.
We have gone back. We went back Apollo 12, Apollo 14, Apollo 15, Apollo 16, and Apollo 17.
But what
we went
about
back.
18? How come no 18?
Well, because they do it. No, but they went back. They went six times, Megan. If you're going to fake the moon landing in 1969, why do you then take the risk of faking it five more times?
But they didn't walk around out there all willy-nilly again.
They did. They played they did? Golf and they, oh, they took right. the lunar rover.
Okay. But the Coke can that flew by, right?
Megan, there's so much evidence. Admit to me that we've been to the moon.
I'm not going to admit it, but I will say that we probably have.
We probably have.
Do you realize that?
We maybe have.
Medicated.
Okay, look, here's what we're going to do.
Right,
hold on.
I consider it all.
I just want to run two questions by here.
Yes.
September 11th. Where are you on September 11th?
Oh God! Can we not do that one?
Yeah, let's skip that. I don't. Yeah. Let's. Ugh.
Yeah, that means she's not. That means she doubts it. Okay.
What about gold?
What about gold?
Yeah.
What about gold?
About gold. Okay. Okay. Here's where I'm at with gold. Is that, you know? And I was thinking this independently before I even did any research. Was like, why is gold the standard? Why is it not diamonds, rubies? Like, why is it gold?
What do you mean, gold the standard? What do you mean?
Why was gold like? Why were economies based around gold?
Okay, and what answer did you find?
So, well, and you know, and why do we turn it into bricks and all that stuff? And so, so I thought, like, maybe that we, you know, exchange gold with these aliens for technology.
I'm out.
And
I'm in. Keep going.
I'm way in.
And what I found is that aliens actually, the Anunnaki actually used gold in their atmosphere to reflect the sun's rays
to
serve their planet.
Who does?
Who's Anunnaki?
They're from Planet X.
From Planet X,
and
okay.
Is like, which is, you know, a planet that NASA is saying is like possibly a planet.
Okay.
Okay.
So we trade gold with them for technology?
Well, that's my own little spin on it is that, you know, yeah, that possibly we trade gold for information and technology.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
You're a miracle.
So because gold is valuable, you somehow have whipped that up into we are exchanging it with aliens.
Yeah, well, just like why did we decide gold? Like why did we need
because
gold?
Because it's rare.
It's a rare, yeah.
And it's pretty and it is it's easily malleable. That's why.
Just like Megan Holliday.
Apparently so. All right, Megan, you need to hold on. We want to invite our listeners to call in with their conspiracy theories. And we've done this from time to time, and it's always fun.
Now, we don't want skeptics, right? We want people who really believe in what other people consider a conspiracy theory.
Exactly. Other people think you're a nut job, but you're pretty sure you're right. You don't have to be 100%, but you have to be pretty sure you're right about it. At 1-800-520-1067. And, Megan, we'd like to have you on as our conspiracy theorist expert to let us know what you think about our listeners' conspiracy theories. How about that?
I'm in.
I'm guessing she'll love them all.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I'm looking pretty sane now.
Yes, you are.
Right?
I never thought we'd agree on that. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. What do you have to add? What's your conspiracy theory? We'll discuss with Kevin Abean and Megan Holliday next on K-Rock.
We were very excited recently to find out that our friend Megan Holliday is crazy.
Well, we knew she was crazy, but now we know she's crazy in a completely different way.
Right.
She is a conspiracy theorist. Megan Holliday does evening show here at K-Rock, 7 to 11, and weeknights. And I got a couple of responses to your last segment here, Megan, before we go to the phones with your conspiracy theories, listeners, at 1-800-520-1067. One is Scott says, Megan Holliday, born and raised in the 909. That's all the explanation you need.
From Rancho Cucamonga, where the kooks are from.
Okay. Brad writes in on the Kevin Abean Twitter account, at Kevin Abean. So this woman believes we've been trading gold with aliens from a secret planet for hundreds of years in exchange for technology, but we lack the capability to and have never been to the moon? You know what? That's an interesting point. Why is one so easy and one so hard, Megan?
Because the aliens do all the work, Bean. They come here and they ask for gold.
Oh, I see.
True. Here's the thing.
Yeah, they're not going to let us go to the moon.
If you follow...
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, wow. Megan, I was giving you an out. And then you bust in with that. But if you follow Megan Holliday on Instagram and you see her Instagram stories, there's not a lot going on at the studio. On her shift, 7 p.m. to 11.
Right.
Her mind wanders.
Okay.
I fear that's where this might be coming from. She needs someone in here with her.
I see.
And Megan needs friends. Okay, I got you. All right. Let's take a couple of calls and see if Megan agrees with the listeners. 1-800-520-1067, your conspiracy theories. Let's start with Ronnie. He's up first. Line one, please, in Chino.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling and for holding on. Our friend Megan is with us as well. What do you have to offer?
Well, first of all, we have been to the moon. I mean,
oh, okay.
That's just facts. But, this might be off the topic, but it's just, you know, about Mayans. You know, you wonder, why isn't there any Mayans to this day? You know, and it's just the way I feel like the aliens probably abducted them, because to this day, there's not one trace of a Mayan. But yet, the temples that they built just with water and mud still stand to this day. And they were so smart. They used to read the stars and predict what was going to happen just by reading the stars.
I just don't think Kurt Sutter is done writing the script and everything yet and filming it.
No, no, no. We're not talking about the TV show, The Mayans. We're talking about the actual ancient Mayan people.
Gotcha. My bad.
But hold on a second, because I've not heard of this before. You're telling me there is no such thing as a Mayan bloodline? There aren't people alive today who have descended from the Mayans?
Yes, there is not any trace of Mayans. They all disappeared. They've vanished.
And okay.
It's weird, you know?
If that's true, that's weird.
Yeah, right?
Megan, have you heard anything about that? You know anything about the Mayans?
I've been to Peru. I've seen the Nazca lines. I've been to Machu Picchu, and it's an absolute trip. I can't verify that there's, you know, there's no more bloodlines of mine.
Right, but you're
anything.
Willing to believe that.
I am willing to believe
okay.
that.
Okay.
I mean, that's like Belize, El Salvador, all down there. There's got to be descendants from the Mayan people. It's got to.
Ronnie, not according to Ronnie.
Ronnie, what kind of information do you have that makes you think there are no descendants?
Well, it's just I did, you know, I looked it up on online, you know, did a little research before, and I can't,
okay.
You know.
Look, if it's on Wikipedia, it's true. We all agree with that, right? Because no one can change Wikipedia.
Right.
Okay.
All right. By the way, who are the descendants of the Maya? Today, there are currently an estimated 20 to 30 million direct descendants of the ancient civilizations.
Mm. Also online, Ronnie, what do you think of that?
So,
I think that's phony baloney. I don't believe
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah. I'm with Ronnie, by the way.
Well, Ronnie believes what he saw online.
Okay. All right.
Megan, you had on your most recent podcast, you had a conspiracy theorist guest who seemed to convince you very easily that Drake killed XXXTentacion. Are you still believing that's the case?
So when I was talking with Sam Tripoli, you know, I was just like taking it in. I was just like, yeah. But I'm like, I have no idea. I haven't looked into that at all.
Okay, how about he also seemed to convince you that General Motors bought the mass transit system in Los Angeles and moved it to Mexico City so that people would have to buy more cars in L.A.?
Yeah, he did tell me that, and I didn't even, I was like, okay.
I like that Megan's talking about conspiracy theories, and she does no research, and then she's like, sounds good to me.
All right, let's go to a classic. This is going to be David, line two, up next on the Kevin and Beach Hill from Culver City. He is going to get into one of the three or four greatest conspiracy theories of all time, at least most popular. What's going on here, dude?
Hello?
Hi there. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm calling because I genuinely believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was just a patsy for the murder of JFK.
And who was responsible for the murder of JFK? Was it that rat bastard Johnson?
No. I genuinely believe it was the CIA. Now, the reasoning for it is I'm not really sure why they would do it, but I do genuinely believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was framed.
Okay, but based on what?
Well, for the most part, everybody knows is that he's one of the first American soldiers to defect, essentially believing the lies that those rat commies told him. So, yeah, I'm sorry, man.
No, you're doing good.
No, that's okay. Look, we don't have to speculate because Megan Holliday is on the line. Megan, who was really responsible for the death of JFK?
Wait, sorry, say it again?
Who was really responsible? It was his own government that killed the president, right?
I'm going with the CIA.
So we took out our own leader.
Wow. How about that?
All right. It has been decided. Thank you very much.
Has it been decided, though?
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's try one more. Let's make it Los Angeles. Jeff, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Good. Conspiracy theories.
Okay. So I've been a targeted individual for 16 years.
What's a targeted individual, please?
I'd rather you Google it, but... In a nutshell,
I'd rather you tell us. We're doing a radio show, and it involves
audio.
Hold on,
everybody Google. Let's just be quiet for a minute.
I've explained it so many times, and it's so hard.
But not to us.
We're sorry to put you in this position, but just tell us what the F it is.
Did we call you, by the way? Let me check that, too, while we're at it.
So 16 years ago, I felt... It's called, the first part of it is being under surveillance.
Okay.
So it seemed as if I was being followed. I actually asked someone, they wound up saying someone is very interested in everything you do.
Who was that someone? Just a friend?
No, I couldn't even begin to tell you that there's so much, there's so much involved in the pockets.
All right, hey, Jeff, hang on one sec.
I'm all in with Jeff.
Jeff, hang on one sec. Hey, Megan?
Yes.
This is what you sound like to other people.
Yeah. Well, first I'll tell Jeff, you know, to put down the meth pipe and that it's going to be okay.
Wow, when Megan Holliday is squashing your conspiracy theory, you know you've got to help.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
We are back from a vacation, and somebody on the Kevin and Bean Show, Christine, our assistant producer, stayed at my house for 5 nights over vacation. Nope.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that at all. No.
Ship that he dreams about you.
Christine lived with Mr. and Mrs. Bean for 5 days. It really wasn't like that at all.
Okay. How were the showers?
I mean, it might have been when I was at home, but it wasn't like that when I was here. But I thought you might be interested to hear what that was like for
sure.
her. And also, I'll tell you how she broke my heart when she was here. How she?
Oh, no.
She did.
She's the sweetest person in the world. There's no way she broke your heart.
Not anymore, man. Not anymore.
Oh, no.
She threw me under the bus in front of my wife. And we still haven't recovered from
it. Wow.
All of that coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ali is here with What's Happening. And if you don't get to the Bruce Willis story this time, we're going to have trouble.
I will. But first, I want to give some people some stuff. Have you guys seen the previews for this movie, Unfriended: Dark Web?
Yes.
Holy crap. It's everything that I believe to be real that you're all like, no, Allie, that stuff doesn't really happen. It happens because it's now a movie that comes out this Friday. You all say, Allie, seriously, you cover up the camera on your computer. No one's watching you. Yes, they are watching you, Kevin. Want to know why? Because in this movie, one of the guys finds a laptop. And then he opens it after nobody comes to claim it. So he opens it and he's looking through it and all these files pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow all of his friends that he chats with, like they play games together on the internet, they all get intertwined in this dark web crap. People start getting offed. Things are happening. Like he's chatting with his friend on the computer. All of a sudden he's like, who's that behind you? Boom, she's gone. It is insane.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I watched this preview. I was freaked out.
Can't wait.
From the time I ended the preview until now, I haven't stopped thinking about it. And I want you guys to go see this movie and tell me all about it.
Well, why
don't
you go? What are you talking about?
I live it. I live it. It is called Unfriended: Dark Web. It's in theaters this Friday. But right now, if you want to go, we're going to give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Unfriended: Dark Web. This
call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
We'll take callers 10, 11, and 12. Those three winners are going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Unfriended: Dark Web.
And then make sure to let Ellie know how it is. Encourage her to see it.
I'm telling you, I would never open files on someone else's computer with my face just oh man, I'm telling you, bad stuff. Then they're watching like all this bad stuff. They're like people chained up and they're watching like live feeds. Like we know about the dark web. Bad stuff.
Bad stuff does happen on the dark web. That's true.
I'm freaked out.
Don't get too freaked out to not tell us the Bruce Willis diehard stuff.
All right, here's the thing with the Bruce Willis diehard stuff. First of all, we all know that they taped the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis, which we were all thinking, is he in on this? Like, he doesn't seem to have the greatest sense of humor.
Right.
We were all a little worried about it. Then we saw the Jeff Ross little commercial with him, and they were very funny in it together. Well, now I'm hearing all different things. Like, Dennis Rodman was booed for some of his jokes, like this one. He was trying to give Bruce Willis a hard time about some of his movie choices.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, quote, you keep making these bomb movies like Kim Jong-il, but at least he's smart enough not to release his. I mean,
everybody's
by the way,
like,
I mean Kim Jong-un. Yeah, like they're like, oh, boo, he's your friend. You're a jerk. You're a traitor to America. And apparently he wound up apologizing a number of times because he kept flubbing his lines.
Oh, man.
However, it's not all bad because Nikki Glaser, Lil Rel Howery, Dom Herrera, Edward Norton, Kevin Pollak, Jeff Ross, Cybill Shepherd, who apparently killed.
Really? Wow.
She was amazing. Martha Stewart. And then Demi Moore dropped by.
That was a surprise, right?
Yes. And this is what they say. Her set was a mixture of sweet and brutal.
Wow.
And I look forward to that.
When can we see that?
You can see that July 29th on Comedy Central. But apparently, Edward Norton killed as well. Extremely funny. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's going to get the most people talking.
What's the thing?
Bruce Willis said this, quote, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a goddamn Bruce Willis movie. That is going to ruin some people's lives that have spent their whole time arguing that it is indeed a Christmas movie because, well, it has a tree in it, takes place
I mean, it
at
does
Christmas.
Take, place at Christmas time. It's a Christmas party. It's an action movie that happens during...
Does that a Christmas movie make?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't know.
He says no, it's just a Bruce Willis movie.
I mean, when Bruce Willis says it, I mean, you gotta... That's it, right?
Prior to Mr. Willis settling the argument once and for all, what side did you come down on, Allie?
I came down on the, oh my God, everyone arguing this is so annoying. Just watch a Hallmark movie. They're the best.
But is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not, in your opinion? I say no.
It is not.
I say it's an action movie that happens to be set at Christmas time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, trust me. Wait till they come after you guys. And they will. They will. They're like Bernie Bros and Elon Musk Bros.
Wow. Yeah. Got a lot of people coming after us. So.
I mean, it's tough. It is tough.
I mean, I've been under surveillance for 16 years anyway.
Right.
So who can come after me now?
What's that all about, Bean?
I'm tired of explaining it, Allie.
I wish, I'd rather you guys just looked it up.
Why don't you just look it up?
That was my favorite guy.
That was so intense, and I liked it so much. Why did Miley Cyrus delete all of her Instagram photos?
My guess would be she's getting ready to launch some sort of new album or new project or new something. She just wanted to draw attention to that, maybe.
She got rid of all of her pictures, and her numbers are still intact. She has 76 million followers, by the way, on Instagram. But she even blacked out her avatar picture. So there's not even a picture of Miley anywhere on it.
Now, when these people do this and then they put up something to promote an album or whatever, do they end up... can you go back and put everything back up, or no? You start from scratch.
Oh, I don't know if you can actually click something in the back.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But well, I mean, it's fairly common. Like Paul McCartney did the same thing recently, you know, ahead of his new album. I mean, it is. It just
did he really?
Who's following Paul McCartney on Instagram?
I bet a lot of people are. He's a pretty famous dude.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's all it is. I mean, we haven't heard anything about her quitting show business or anything, right?
Well, that's got people talking. So immediately people went to see if she's still following Liam Hemsworth, if he's still following her. Oh, my God, is it a clean slate? Are they breaking up? What is happening? So, I mean, we should have kept Megan Holliday on the line.
Right?
She would know. Theorist. She would know. I don't know. A lot going on, you guys. And coming up... you thought we were done with the royal wedding.
Oh, we're right? Done with the royal wedding.
I don't know. There's more. There's more
done.
Stuff. More stuff
couldn't
coming
be
out.
More done.
Ooh, not sure. Some birthdays for you. Corey Feldman, Stuart Copeland, Michael Flatley, Annalyn McCord, Ed Kowalczyk, Phoebe Cates, and, dare I say, one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of the earth. One of the greatest comedic actors of our time.
Rodney on the Rock?
Will Ferrell.
Yay! Bitchin'.
What was that, Will?
Bitchin'.
Thank you. That's what's happening.
Evil genius, you guys, on Netflix.
Yeah.
Come on with the come on, right?
Straight craziness.
Guy walks into a bank with a bomb around his neck that ends up blowing up on camera in front of the police. Nobody is ever arrested or convicted for the murder. If it was a murder, I'm telling you, it's a bizarre story. We're going to talk to the filmmakers behind this outstanding Netflix documentary coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, hello, my former friend Christine Fung.
Hi, Bean.
I thought you guys had been friends forever.
Right.
We have been friends for about 20 years. Excuse me. We were friends for about 20 years until last week. Before we get into how Christine broke my heart, what do you think about vacation coming up and you can go anywhere in the world, Kevin?
Yes.
And you're Christine and you decide to go to Bean's house.
I mean, that's a strange choice.
What do you have that for a plan?
But I do know that she's friends with your wife, so that helps it make a lot more sense.
And in fact, that's the only reason she was here.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there to see Donna.
I didn't even know, this is the truth, Christine. I did not even know you were coming until a couple of days before the vacation.
You should talk to your wife every once in a while.
She told me you were going to be out of town that weekend, so I figured, why even tell you?
Yes. So she says, oh, Christine's coming in on Friday. I'm like, Christine who? Coming in where? And she's like, you know, Christine. I'm like, well, how is this happening? I didn't even know that. I was not involved in all of the decisions. So Christine was invited up to the house. And by the way, before we get into how you stab me in the back, tell the kids how delightful it is living with the Baxters.
What's it like there?
I got to say, it's pretty nice.
Did you look for a basement?
I saw the basement.
You did?
Yeah.
You saw the chocolate basement. Milk fridge, too.
I saw the chocolate milk fridge.
Were there
fridge.
Hidden bodies there anywhere?
No bodies. But there was, like, you know, a couple
fake
of
wall?
Dark areas. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should explore too deeply, so I mostly just kind of took a peek around.
I see. You didn't really want more information.
No, I really didn't. Okay. No, not necessary.
Would you agree, Christine, that every day is Valentine's Day at my house?
Oh, my God. Do I have to answer?
No,
yes.
You can say no.
So creepy.
It's ridiculous.
But I always get the impression from the listeners who are only familiar with my life through the show that they think it must be some sort of a nightmare for my wife living here. It must be like nonstop torture. But I think she's enjoying herself. I think she's having a pretty good time, and it's kind of all right being
That's
here.
That's your strength is reading people.
Did it look like she was a wife in distress or under duress or at all to you, Christine?
Does it count the times where she, like, gave me scared glances and passed me notes? Mm. But I don't know. Besides that, I think everything was
okay.
So, wait,
how long were you at his house when Bean wasn't?
3 days?
Two days. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bean came back.
Yes.
Right. And then Christine couldn't get out of here fast enough. So we had a 4th of July party here that we do. And by the way, for folks who are confused, I do live most of the time in New Orleans, but it's very hot there right now. And my wife will have none of it. So we are back for a short period in Seattle right now. Around the 4th of July, it's the best, most beautiful weather in the country. 4th of July, right?
Okay.
So we have a party to see some fireworks and whatnot. And there are a bunch of people there, way more people than I was comfortable. I was freaking out a little bit. I think there were about 50 people at our house
that
night.
I think there were more than 50 people.
Being honestly, 8, 9, 10 people, he's like, I'm not, this is too much.
Right.
And Christine can back you up because we talked about my dream guest list would have been less than a dozen, right?
Right.
So there's 50-something people at my house, including several people that I did not know. And there are a bunch of girls running around.
Young girls, yep.
What? This is
a whole bunch of them.
And it turns out that one of them, Allie, just graduated from Boston University.
Ew.
Which is not your school. It's the other
yeah,
one, right?
It sucks to be you.
Yeah, right? she's BU. So we're chatting, and she somehow finds out that I do this radio show, okay? And she's she's real pretty. She's like 22 or something like that. She just got out of college. And she said, oh, you do a radio show from your house? And I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it a long time. She's like, well, I just graduated from Boston University. I was the program director at my college radio station. And I love radio, and I'm dying to get it.
Right? You guys? Right?
Right?
And I'm dying to get into radio. I just, now that I'm out of school, I just don't know what to do.
Dying to get into radio.
Wow. Do anything, I
anything,
bet.
Right?
Wow.
Anything at all.
Wow.
So I'm trying to give her advice, and I'm talking to her about the next step she should have, you know, some options available to her in the Seattle market. I talk about her getting a podcast and stuff like that. So Donna catches wind of me talking to this young co-ed.
Sure.
And she's like, if I can have you over here for a minute, please. What the hell's going on over there? And I'm like, she's interested in a career in radio.
Can you imagine being?
I have a lot of contacts that I could hook you up with.
She's interested in a career in radio, and she just found out that there's a guy at the party who's been in radio for a long time that might be able to help her. So I'm just having a conversation with her. Now, this is where things fall apart. Because not only does Donna distrust me and my interest in helping this young lady.
Right.
Christine then piles on and stabs me in the back. And I say to you, betrays her own sex by automatically assuming it was something nefarious and not somebody who was just trying to do some professional networking. I was insulted for you as a woman.
Oh, please. Please.
Well, it was really funny, Bean, because you spent the entire morning. First of all, we went to breakfast we were supposed to go to Denny's, talked him out of that, some errands for the party to set everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time was like, oh, God, there's going to be 50 people at my house. Do I have to have the party?
Yeah, he's
miserable. Do I have to talk to people? Like the whole entire day, right? This is the entire day. And all of a sudden, we get
party
wind.
Party Bean comes out.
Right. We get wind that one of the women is bringing a couple of French foreign exchange students.
Mm.
And in the group of French foreign exchange students, there happens to be this young girl who is suddenly interested in radio once finding out that Bean was a big-time DJ.
And did Bean then not want to talk to her because
he
doesn't like people?
No. Oh, gosh. What? Wow. This is so exciting.
You have to do your impression of Bean if you're going to do it, if you don't mind.
I don't know. Like, I would like to tell you about radio.
So now he's thrilled because he gets to talk about radio.
Yes. Didn't want to talk to one person the entire time, was dreading it, and then could not be more excited for this party. Yes.
Okay, but isn't it possible?
Okay. Yes.
But isn't it possible that she was just, as I said, taking advantage of an opportunity to connect with somebody in her chosen field?
I think she's taking advantage of an opportunity. Absolutely.
No, not like that, Christine.
You don't think she thought, I'm hot.
Yep.
I could get this guy to help me.
Right.
No, I don't at all. It never occurred to me that that's what the angle she was coming from. I treated her as a professional, and every word that I said to her, by the way, was completely legitimate.
Sure.
And above board. There was nothing sketchy from my end at all.
Speaking of above board, did you show her your studio? A little below board?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact. But, I mean, honestly, I was just really, really surprised that you and my wife would both think that she had some sort of ulterior motives rather than just doing what any smart business person would do, which is see an opportunity. I feel like maybe take it.
Maybe she has ulterior motives, and maybe you have ulterior motives as well.
Yeah. No.
That's what I'm saying.
That wasn't the case
at
all.
Are you not human? You said she was attractive, right?
She's very attractive.
Okay.
She's really, really, I mean, really pretty.
The defense rests.
I am more.
I don't know which side of it.
I am human, but I am more dancer. So I think that's. That's where I'm coming from.
So you're upset because Christine and your wife didn't trust you.
Yes, and that they didn't give her the benefit of the doubt that she was. They never would have questioned it if it had been a guy. They shouldn't have questioned it. I think it was sexism that they questioned it because it was a woman and she couldn't be taken seriously as a career woman. That's
what I think. Well, I would say that I don't think if Jack, 22-year-old from Boston University, was at your party, you would have run excitedly over to me and go, Christine.
Oh.
Literally, like, a minute of that. Uh-huh. Did you know that the former program director of Boston University's college radio program is here and is interested in radio?
Listen to that.
Yeah.
And Dean's like, I think it's sexist that you think. Come on.
Because Jack is a dick, though. This lady was cool. A few weeks ago, I saw a documentary on Netflix. I am obsessed with these crime documentaries that they have on Netflix, by the way. And it blew my mind, you guys. And you need to see it, too. It's called Evil Genius, The True Story of America's Most Diabolical Bank Heist. We could not be more excited to welcome Trey Borzalelli.
I'm sorry, what?
Trey Borzalelli. Close enough, Trey?
That was perfect.
Co-director and executive producer of Evil Genius, and Barbara Schroeder, the writer and director of the film. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, you guys. How are you?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
So happy to see you.
Thanks for having us.
It's our favorite topic, too. So being on Netflix is just the best because your movie is everywhere all over the world, and new audiences can come to it anytime. It's always there. I love that.
Right.
We love it, too.
The new way of distribution. Who knows?
It is.
We'll go back to the old way.
I barely remember this happening. Like, I watched it, and I sort of, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, that guy that had a bomb on, he went into a bank. But I didn't really know any of the details. And I certainly didn't know the craziness of that town and everybody around there.
Right.
Explain to people that don't remember it. What happened in this bank heist?
Well, Trey saw it first.
Okay.
So basically... There's video camera, television crews show up to the scene of this, and you see a standoff between a man, the perpetrator that they thought, who had gone in and robbed a bank. And it turned out that this was a pizza delivery man who received a call, went out to deliver these pizzas, was accosted, and ended up robbing a bank. All of Erie, all of law enforcement, comes to this location, and there's this standoff for about a half an hour, and it ends with the bomb exploding, and he's killed there at the scene.
Now, he doesn't even know if it's a real bomb at the time. Did you get that idea?
Well, we don't know, right?
Right. That's one of the big takeaways from this. Was he or was he not aware of, A, the heist and the plot that was going on, and if the bomb was live or not? So
then no one was charged?
So the
with
case
anything?
Well, yeah, no, there were some charges, but the takeaway from this is that this became an FBI major case, and that's a rare designation, usually like 9/11 and and cases like that. So that was rare. And then it, even though it was resolved and there are a couple of the co-conspirators in prison, to this day the FBI cannot tell you for sure who wrote the hostage notes and these incredible scavenger hunt notes that followed this bizarre bank heist where the pizza guy was supposed to go on a scavenger hunt to find keys to unlock the bomb around his neck. I mean, the story.
Like you do.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, right. It's such a rabbit hole you can go down there. But they don't know for sure who wrote the notes, who decided to make the bomb live, and in spite of the fact that somebody, and we know who locked the bomb around this pizza delivery guy's neck, he got immunity, i.e. nobody was ever charged with the murder of Brian Wells, and yet he was publicly executed. And that's what, when I love Trey's story about how he got into this, onto this case, because you were sitting in a bar.
Yeah, I was just sitting at home, my hometown, Buffalo, New York. I had actually come into town. My mother had passed away, and I was gathering her stuff on Lake Erie where she lived. Went to a bar that night. There was a television up in the corner.
Oh, you watched it live?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so I watched it. And I was like, "Oh my God! You know what? How desperate did this man have to be to rob a bank with a live bomb wrapped around him?" So that evening, you know, this happened. It was reported. Some information started to trickle out that he perhaps had been put up to this by someone else. So this became this one of a kind murder mystery bank robbery, and it went cold. And the mystery was just looming, and it grabbed a hold of me. And I wanted answers. So I started going into Erie, knocking on doors, and lo and behold, 2 years later, I strike up this relationship with Marjorie Deal Armstrong, who is, you know, a movie in and of herself, just the fascinating resident of Erie.
Which brings me to my question.
Yeah. Yes, Allie.
About Marjorie and your relationship. Like, she was known to manipulate men. I believe it was 5 men in her past.
5 dead
At
men.
At least 5 men had died.
Died
mysteriously.
So far, Trey.
So far, right? Well, she's dead now. But I will say this. You became, I don't want to say obsessed, but somewhat transfixed by her, to the point where you could have stopped talking to her at any point, but something kept bringing you back.
And that was the mystery. And, you know, it's...
Was it the mystery?
It was chasing the why did this happen.
I think Marjorie had a hold on you. Well, a little bit?
But she had a hold on him because she had the answers. Mm-hmm. And he was working her for years and years and years and was one of the few men to stay on even ground with her where, you know, he could get her to talk to him. And she could have stopped talking to him at any time, too.
She's incredibly intelligent. Also straight crazy.
There was a writer from Pop Sugar had a great phrase for her. They called her revoltingly magnetic.
Wow.
Interesting.
All right.
There must have been times, Trey, throughout this the years that you chased this story that you were frustrated enough to just want to give up, right? Just say goodbye to her.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I will.
Because she was abusive to you.
Oh, you mean like the time when she said to him, "I'm going to sue your effing balls off if you report that."
Is that something you can do?
Good at always
and
threatening
she
lawsuits.
She did not say effing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and you know, all those things you mentioned are great. She was a purveyor of psychic karma of the universe. That she said, you know, that's how she coined the term. It was like voodoo that she practiced. So that was another element of real fear factor for me. I was always afraid of, you know, does she have a voodoo doll of me in her prison cell?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was sort of like, as the years were going by, you ever see that movie Interview with a Vampire?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. This was like Interview with a Witch. And I mean, I don't mean, you know, I mean, there's the cartoon character of a witch. There's also what we know, you know, modern, you know, real life witches. And it felt like that.
And just her looks over time. I mean, she was a stunningly beautiful woman. Yeah. And over time, it seemed like something was possessing her. And there was such a darkness behind her eyes that she freaked me out. But you know what? I'd probably still keep talking to her. I'm not going to lie.
She had a mental illness. And
there
are two schools of thought. She might have been bipolar. She might have just had a personality disorder. So, but either way, that set in when she was like in her early 20s. And it was the only time when I ever felt sorry or had some emotion for her is when Trey and I found out that at the age of 23, she took herself to see a therapist. And she said, look, something's wrong with me, and I don't know what to do. And people were like, oh, you're so pretty. You're so smart. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And a couple therapists gave her some medication. But this was, imagine that moment when you're like, she went off the cliff at that moment, but yet managed to hang on and pretend she was sane. And
that's my question is, with all of the intense pressure and the FBI and all the authorities that were there looking into the story, it doesn't seem like she was with it. And it seems like everybody in the story is crazy. How could they not find more answers?
Well, look,
you know what I'm saying? Like, how did they keep
secret? The short answer to that is because it went cold initially. There was a two-year span where these folks could, outside of Marjorie, because Marjorie was arrested for the other case. She killed her boyfriend, James Roding. But
there was that in a freezer.
In the freezer. Another rabbit hole you can go down.
But these co-conspirators had a head start, and they were able to cover their tracks, and they were able to at least meet and get on the same page.
They didn't seem smart enough to me to do that.
Oh, Bill did.
Bill?
Yeah. Part of it was some of them were smart enough, some of them were tricky enough, thought ahead enough, but also they got lucky a lot. There was a blue van that was at the last site of the scavenger hunt that was driving away, and somebody was in that. Might have been Bill Rothstein, might have been Floyd Stockton, his roommate, the guy, you know, who put the collar on Brian Wells. I mean, and they got away. So some of it was just luck. Hmm.
And I have to wonder how much between, you know, the state level not wanting to get into the federal level, not wanting to cross-pollinate, I guess, how much of that kept them.
Well, it was a huge factor because, you know, once they did polygraph tests on Bill Rothstein, the handyman, and his roommate Floyd Stockton, those guys passed those tests.
Yes.
So the FBI cleared them.
And then those snitch letters. I was so mad at the snitch letters.
Right?
If you haven't seen this, I'm making no sense, but I was so angry.
No, it's a great Orange is the New Black moment where Marjorie Dill Armstrong is talking to a fellow inmate saying, oh, yeah, you're not going to believe it, but we measured his neck for the collar. That was the inmate wrote that in a note, gave it to the police department, called up the DA after she'd given the notes to the police department to say, are you guys looking at this? And for some reason, those notes were put in a file marked snitch file and never given to the FBI to help
just
solve this
case.
Put
in a drawer.
Wow.
Dude, wow.
What did that emanate from? You know, was that interdepartmental drama?
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a fascinating, fascinating story that really does leave you with as many questions as answers when you're done at the end of it, which is amazing because you couldn't have put more time or effort into this. I'll tell you that.
Because of Trey's dogged pursuit of the truth, in episode 4, there are new revelations that the FBI was unable to get. We found an eyewitness.
I still have some eyewitness issues, though.
Look, she's an unreliable narrator.
Absolutely. The fact that you don't think that Brian was in on it. Come on.
There's a lot more that's not in the documentary.
Can we talk about it? Can we go get a drink? You and me?
Absolutely.
But also just the moment about when he goes to deliver the pizzas and he
okay, why don't we pause right there then? Hold on.
Yeah,
a second.
Let's
come back and hear some more about that. Again, I know we do sound crazy, but you'll get up to speed if you watch The Evil Genius, The True Story of America's Most Diabolical Bank Heist. It's on Netflix. More with our guests right after this on camera. Roy Borzalleri and Barbara Schroeder are the geniuses behind Evil Genius, The True Story of America's Most Diabolical Bank Heist, currently showing on Netflix, and it's great, you guys. For those just joining us, this is the story from 15 years ago next month, if I'm doing the math correctly, about a guy who walks into a bank with a bomb strapped around his neck. It ends up blowing up, and it just gets crazier from there. Ali, you were having some questions about the man with the bomb, Brian Wells, the pizza delivery man.
Here's the thing. Trey, you are convinced that he had no idea of the extent of this, that he was just... that he may have been in on one of the meetings about it, but he didn't know what he was doing, right?
Correct.
And then you've got Marjorie, who's like, you're an idiot. Of course he knew about it. Who could have been protecting her ass. That way she wouldn't get the death penalty, right?
Right.
If he was a co-conspirator.
What an odd thing for her to say if she's saying the whole time, I had nothing to do with the GD heist, you know?
Right.
But he was in on it. So why is she saying Brian's in on it? Because it avoids... The death penalty.
Mm.
Very strategic.
But here's the thing with Brian. Super calm. He's got a bomb around his neck. He doesn't know if it's real or not. He goes, does the heist, grabs a lollipop on his way out. Just boop, boop, boop. Everything's fine. He's then in front of the police on the ground saying, you guys, it's going to go off. It's going to go off. If that is me or you or anyone, you get that on you, you immediately walk in the bank and you go, oh my God, you guys, this is a bomb around my neck. Somebody get the bomb squad here. This is freaking me out. I don't know what to do. You don't go through with the heist. You don't then say to the police, oh, it was black guys that put it around me. You don't then go with their line of what you were supposed to say, unless you were in on it, Trey. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, there's many layers of that. So a couple points are, you know, first off, he was targeted for a reason. You know, he was targeted for his personality. He was very fragile, which all his family and friends knew that. So much so that he was worried just even in his regular relationships with people, he thought he could be taken advantage of.
That's why he sold, he traded drugs for sex with hookers.
And then also, you know, some of that stuff is exaggerated in the sense that, you know, he entered the bank, he waited in line just for a second or two and then skipped the line, went right to the teller. Mm-hmm. And then the teller was making him wait for a long period of time in there.
How rude.
Right?
Can you imagine?
When you've demanded $250,000.
And handing these cryptic pages upon pages of notes to them. They're trying to figure out what's going on.
10 pages or so. Yeah, are you kidding?
They would have handed the bank teller four herself. So, like, you know, he goes up there and gives her at least four pages. So once he got that money, he left the bank at some point while he was waiting there. He took the lollipop out of the basket that was right next to him. So, you know, some people say, was that nervous?
But our ATF agent says he might have just had some nerves, you know, and just wanted to wet his mouth. And he's a simple guy. So he's standing there waiting, being a good boy because he was a good employee, a good son, a good everything.
Netflix released the notes. The notes are very telling, and so you can go online. They're up on Facebook. There's a couple
Facebook,
other places now where you can reach them. They're on my Instagram page, so you can read those and really come to terms with what he was dealing with. And they were never released until the documentary came out. I think that's telling factor. Yeah.
Did you have much trouble, guys, getting cooperation from the people that ended up being on camera for your documentary? Were there people who didn't want to be involved?
Well, for sure. And, you know, what I like to say is, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, back when I reached out to Marjorie, I couldn't get information. Law enforcement was under a gag order, federal gag order. All of those individuals who from law enforcement that did interviews for the documentary, they waited until they retired in order to talk about this case. So to this day, it's very touchy.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from the fact that, you know, the FBI, all these agencies still work with the FBI. Mm-hmm. The FBI moved away from Rothstein and Stockton and Marjorie and Ken Barnes initially. They didn't know about Ken Barnes, but they moved in a different direction. And that's where the bad blood between these agencies came. So, you know, it's the Erie police and the state police don't really want to come out and, you know, and talk in a...
Oops, sorry to clear them.
And you asked if there was anybody that we missed. We did talk with Brian Wall's family. You talked with them, and then I talked with them for a long time. And we really wanted them. We thought we had them on board to get their side of the story. And they, for a while, they were on board, and then they're like, nah, they got kind of like media weary, media fatigue. And they're like, nah, we don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Was it difficult to get your head around this whole story and all the different moving parts and make it into...
Oh, the most confusing. When Trey first brought the story to me, he'd been working on it 10 years. He brought it to me, and I liked the fact that there was like this dark love story, you know, Marjorie and Bill, and that it was this crazy crime that hadn't been solved.
But when Marjorie started, and Trey
right,
as well?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Because I think he played her better than she played him. But it was just this, like, every moment was like, wait, what? There was a body in the freezer? Wait, what? There was another pizza guy who died? Brian's
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Panetti dude that all of a sudden just dies out of nowhere.
So, right, and for a moment I thought, there is no way. I've been a journalist my entire career, and I thought, I can't tell this story. I can't write this.
It's too much.
Nobody would believe it. But we were dogged about getting new information, moving it forward, and did a lot of rewrites. And with Netflix's help, we were able to have this long form, you know, platform now, which is amazing because this is a hard story to tell in an hour and a half. And we really needed that time.
And a hard story to gather, too, because it did take 10 years just to get, you know, that story that you see there, collect that.
He didn't get the big confession until like 13 years after he started this, purely because he stayed in touch with people. Trey's citizen journalist instincts were so great.
Like, that's amazing.
Wow. Better than a lot of my colleagues.
Thank God you were in that bar in Buffalo, right?
We got a text from the 714 wants to know, is this story the basis for the Danny McBride movie 30 Minutes or Less, which had a similar plot point? Do you guys know?
Yeah, the screenwriters say that it wasn't, but
It absolutely was.
Okay. All right. They just didn't want to have to pay somebody, right?
Right, right. And it would have Danny McBride actually playing Marge. It's a male character.
Didn't Brian Wells' family come out when that movie came out, and they were upset. So upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they claimed they had no idea that this huge case that was just like the movie, only comedy, came out. So,
Is this the last we will hear of this story, or do you think there will be, as a result of the popularity of it, more information will come forward and there will end up being another chapter to Evil Genius?
Well, we still have questions that we want to get answered. And we have a lot more material. We have some deep dives into Marjorie Deal. We have an hour and 40-minute interview with her.
I could watch her all day long.
Right?
Yes.
Right? So we have a lot more material, and we're also looking for more Evil Geniuses. So if anybody has any.
Yeah,
for season two, right?
Hang around K-Rock. You'll find one. Sure. And by the way, executive produced by the Duplass brothers, who we love and have such wonderful taste in every project that they put their names
on. Can I just say, these guys, Mark in particular, because we worked with him more, everything that's right about Hollywood.
Absolutely.
They identify
Absolutely.
Projects that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. They help shepherd them. He was a godfather to us.
And great
brought
taste.
Us into Netflix. I mean, we're forever grateful.
That's great.
All right, here's a big final plug for folks. Please remember the name Evil Genius, all right? Type that into your Netflix and see the documentary on the true story of America's most diabolical bank heist. Trey, Barbara, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in. Congratulations
you.
On
really
the movie. I hope we
it.
See you again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
If you love Imagine Dragons like we do, you'll want to see them at the Forum this weekend and qualify for the grand prize meet and greet with the band, backstage tour, and more. I'll give you a chance to do all that in 5 minutes right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Imagine Dragons fans, 5 minutes from right now, we'll ask you to call in. First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday.
I don't know how to go about this, how we do it, but it needs to happen.
Okay.
We need to just get a big, big bubble.
A big bubble.
Put Travis Barker in it.
Okay.
And keep him safe for all time.
Agreed.
Maybe surround all of his orifices with bubble wrap. I don't know why I said orifices.
I'm not sure either.
Just his whole self. We need to keep him safe is what I'm saying. I'm not sure if you heard about this on Friday, but he was in the car with his son and one of his son's friends, and a school bus ran a red light and totaled his car. He said, I have a really big 4x4 G-Wagon, and if I wasn't in that, it might have been different.
Man, oh man.
But it held up pretty well. His car is totaled. And thankfully, there were no kids in the school bus at the time, too, so that was okay. But, my God.
One thing after another.
One thing after another. But he also said, I'm as good as I can be. And then when they talked to him about his blood clots in his arms, that then there was a staph infection. It's like one thing after the other for that. They had to basically postpone that Las Vegas residency for the time being.
Yep.
He said, I'm just following the doctor's orders. I actually had a staph infection and a ton of blood clots, and it's just been a recovery period. So I'm just waiting for everything. I see doctors weekly. They're doing a lot for things to hyper-heal my hands. So as soon as that happens, it's a green light.
Mm-hmm.
He really obviously wants to be back on stage. It must just be killing him.
Just play drums in private.
Absolutely.
He does every day for hours.
Yeah.
Well, he said in that post last week that this is the longest he's ever gone in his entire life not playing drums.
Insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. Speaking of insane, Conor McGregor, he was at the World Cup yesterday.
I'm sorry?
Conor McGregor, you know him, UFC guy.
Sure.
Sometimes boxer.
Sure.
Possibly in the WWE someday.
Sure.
Who knows? But he was at the
night. There'd be a full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about night. Sure.
I mean, there he is, right there.
Right there. He was discussing who gave him the ticket. It was Vladimir Putin. He decided that he would post a picture of him with Russia's president and captioned it, "Today I was invited to the World Cup final as a guest of Russian President Vladimir Putin. This man is one of the greatest leaders of our time, and I was honored to attend such a landmark event alongside him."
The Russians are running the USSA.
There was an extra S there, but okay.
There was an extra S, and maybe
Rodney was making a USSR joke.
The A should have been an R, yeah.
I think that was his joke. It's now we're the USSA, maybe.
Oh,
because
that's pretty good.
From Rodney? That's damn good.
Right? Well done. He ended the picture post with, "Go Russia," written in Russian. So Connor's got some Putin feelings. That's...
And a lack of
knowledge of history?
Right. I mean, Google him. Just check out some of the things that he's done to his
Russia country. Is like, I mean, they're really hot stuff.
I don't know that hot stuff is what... How you would describe it?
Vladimir would love it.
Sure.
Be like, yes, we are hot stuff. And Meghan Markle's dad, we thought we were rid of him, right?
The story's back?
It's back because he can't stop talking to the press and most likely getting paid for it.
Sure. Royal wedding.
I think the fever's died down.
The fever's died down. But her father, Thomas Markle, thinks that she looks, quote, terrified while on outings with Prince Harry and the royal family. And he thinks she is extremely unhappy. I see it in her eyes. I see it in her face. And I see it in her smile.
I have not seen her in a photograph where she hasn't been smiling one time since the wedding.
But
you're
I
not
think,
her dad.
I think that Thomas Markle is saying she's not smizing. She's not smiling with her eyes.
Right,
she is,
I got you.
She's just going through the motions.
She's putting up a fake
false
front. Right.
She did not sign up for this. He also blasted the royal family as outdated, wondered why his daughter has to conform to such a ridiculous dress code. I mean, sir.
Did you see her in the front row at the Wimbledon ladies' final the other day
in
with Duchess Kate?
Ralph Lauren striped white and blue top and the cream-colored pants? Yes,
What's happening right now? I didn't notice any of that, but I did notice she was having the time of her life.
Having the time of her life and watching one of her best friends, Serena, that was at her wedding. She was having a great time and looked wonderful doing it.
Like a month ago, she's on a TV show in America, and now she's in front row at Wimbledon being... given the royal treatment. I think things are going all right for Meghan.
I don't know. Her dad, who I don't think has even talked to her, says it's all phony. Good Lord. Some birthdays for you. Ed Kowalczyk, Annalyn McCord, Michael Flatley, Stuart Copeland, Corey Feldman, Phoebe Cates, and Will Ferrell.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
Did happen. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
By the way... Or as Allie would say, anywho.
No, Kevin hates it. I don't say that.
Patricia Dodge from Placentia is the one who won our Imagine Dragons tickets a few minutes ago. She'll be seeing the show at the Forum this weekend, and she's also qualified for a grand prize drawing. We do Friday for a meet and greet with the band, a backstage tour, signed copies of their new album, and $106 to raid the merch booth, it says here. So your chance to qualify for all that good stuff coming up throughout the week at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. So stick around for that. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
I didn't see Hotel Transylvania 1 or 2, so I was not aware that I should be seeing Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation. Did you know about these movies?
I saw one ad for it.
Okay.
And I was surprised it was not a Halloween movie. I was surprised to see anything called Hotel Transylvania be released in the summer, but it sounds like from the title that they've come up with a summer plotline.
Yes, Summer Vacation, led by the voice cast of Adam Sandler, Selena Gomez, Andy Samberg, Catherine Hahn. They matched the performance of their two predecessors this weekend with a pretty decent opening of $44 million.
Wow.
Not bad for a movie that none of us really knew about. Not bad at all. Ant-Man and the Wasp took second place. They had $29 million in their second weekend. That is falling 62% from its $76 million opening. But Kevin saw it not once, not twice. How many?
I saw it three times.
Okay.
Yeah.
You loved it?
I did.
Absolutely.
Loved it each time.
Excellent.
I want a good movie.
And he found it. So he went back two more times. And then in third place, the blockbuster Skyscraper. That is one starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which failed to meet studio expectations amid some mixed reviews. That came in at $25.4 million for their opening, which isn't great because it had a $120 million budget.
Their promos for that movie just look like someone said, let's just light a building on fire and put The Rock in it.
Yep.
And that's it.
And people will go, right?
But isn't that usually all you would need, Kevin? Especially in the summertime? Just some good action and some comedy?
I don't know. I almost went to it and I was like, eh.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It's still playing.
I love it. Incredibles 2 came in fourth place. And then in fifth place, just making another $15.5 million, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
It's pretty strong.
The movie's doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, you guys.
By the way, I read an article over the weekend about how this has been the summer of documentaries. My little RBG documentary on Ruth Bader Ginsburg has made over $15 million already.
Wow.
A for a documentary, B for a documentary about an 85-year-old judge.
Right.
Pretty impressive. And I think the Mr. Rogers movie is right behind it, making almost $15 million in box office so far.
And there was a third one that was doing really well. A third documentary. I can't remember what it was.
The Pope. Pope Francis documentary.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was made in the millions as well.
And seen all three of those.
I have, yes. It's been a big year for it, and I don't know if that has any kind of reflection on, especially the themes of those movies are all about goodness and sweetness and light and getting along with people. I don't know if that is a result of the world that we live in now. Is it people are being drawn to stuff like that, or they're just
maybe
magnetic perfect personalities? I don't know.
Nobody gives a crap.
That's also a realistic viewpoint. I guess what I'm saying is it's just surprising to see so many documentaries making so much money. It's unusual.
I agree, Bean.
Seems like a filibuster right now.
Going to see how long that was, but it was under 3 minutes.
Is it Identical Strangers? Is that the one you're thinking of, Allie?
Is that the Three Brothers?
Yes.
Yes, I think that might be the one.
Care at all.
That one's doing big money, too.
They were three. They looked identical.
I don't care about that.
And they were strangers because they never met until late in their life.
I just don't care at all. Really.
So it sounds like you're in, Kevin.
Are you still talking about this? Come on.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Right. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Oh, God. Don't care. Don't care.
Look.
I'm giving you gold. Don't make me shovel crap.
Look.
Who gives it damn?
Were you going to look?
We're not going to look.
All right, we're not going to look.
Back to you.
Not sure if any of you were following in real time yesterday Elon Musk losing his mind on Twitter, but he was criticized a little bit about wanting to bring his submarine, his mini sub, in to help the kids in Thailand that were trapped with the rain and that soccer team. We talked about him earlier.
Right.
It was kind of a huge international story. All 13 of the kids are safe. And their coach, or maybe 12 kids and a coach. Somebody ate a fat kid. Yeah. I heard that on the radio this morning.
We said that, though.
Okay, yeah. That was it.
Don't trust that.
Well, people were saying, hey, Elon Musk, stop. It's a PR stunt. We don't really think it'll work, blah, blah, blah. And he got really in his feelings about this. He doesn't respond great to criticism online. Hmm. Kind of like a paper-thin kind of feelings, kind of guy. And he wound up saying about the British diver, Vern Unsworth, who helped with the Thai cave rescue, who did say that it was a PR stunt in an interview and said he can stick his submarine where it hurts. He wound up calling him a pedo.
That's alleged.
Yeah. And people were like, wait, what? How are you going to just come after this guy and call him that?
That's a pretty serious charge.
It's a very serious charge. And then one of the journalists that had written about this man said, wait, did you just call this guy that saved the kids a pedo? And he wrote back, bet you sign dollar, it's true. Okay, so doubling down on it now. Turns out today he has deleted all those tweets, and British diver Vern Unsworth was asked by the news, are you considering maybe suing him? He's like, yep, sure am. So I feel like somebody in the Musk world needs to maybe sit him down and say, let's just stay off Twitter for a bit.
I'm not sure there's someone in the Musk world who can do that.
That's true. Probably a lot of yes men and yes women surrounding him. But still, he's got to be realizing that there's certain things you can and can't. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
But how much of a sympathetic jury is the diver going to get in court if he's diddling little kids on the side?
Again,
there's no evidence of that.
Well,
there's zero evidence of that.
Mr. Musk would argue with you on that.
I feel like he would have left those tweets up.
That's alleged.
If he had any sort of proof. And a lot of his followers, the guys that I like to say cape a little bit for Elon Musk whenever he gets into these back and forths with people on Twitter, the guys that were coming to his side were like, yeah, what's a white British guy doing in Thailand? He's over there for diddling kids and sex trade.
What's happening?
What's going on? What is happening?
Maybe we thought they were kids in the cave, but they were all ladyboys. You ever think about that? Maybe that's what was going on.
Being at krock.com. Yeah. If you need to.
If you need someone to thank, right?
And in case you missed it, the Bruce Willis roast on Comedy Central will be out on the 29th of this month. I can't wait for it because random people were showing up, like his ex-wife Demi Moore. No one expected her to be there. And apparently she said some brutal things and some lovely things. So I can't wait for that. But what has a lot of people talking, and I totally get it because every Christmas this comes up.
We do have this conversation every Christmas.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And there are people that will die on that hill that it is indeed a Christmas movie. And then there's other people that are correct that say it's not. It's just an action movie that takes place during Christmas.
So the two options are Christmas movie, not Christmas movie.
Right.
Okay, so Bruce Willis ruled on that?
Well, he said at the end of his roast, quote, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a goddamn Bruce Willis movie.
That wasn't one of the choices.
He said it's not a Christmas movie. It's not. That's from the man that stars in it.
All right.
Bruce Willis.
I'm going to add to this by saying, as controversial as this decision may be, It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie either. And I know that we think of it that way because it airs around Christmas time. The last scene takes place with a Christmas tree. It's not a Christmas movie.
But there's snow.
There is snow for part of it because it takes place over decades.
And then the angel gets his wings.
Right? Nothing to do with Christmas.
Angels love Christmas.
What did Bruce Willis say about that movie?
Goddamn Tiny Tim movie.
There are movies that seem like they're Christmas movies because there are scenes set at Christmas time.
Was Tiny Tim not in It's a Wonderful Life?
No, he
wasn't.
That's
a Christmas Carol.
That's a Christmas Carol. Completely different.
Wait, who's the kid that says the angel gets his wings?
That's Zuzu, and that is from It's a Wonderful Life.
Did he have polio?
No, he didn't have polio.
What is happening?
You're thinking of Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim had trouble walking. Yeah.
And he's the one.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
That asks for more porridge.
Yes, thank you for that. Hey, we're off on vacation, you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you back.
It's not Tiny Tim that he's holding by the
will
tree.
Will you? No, it's Zuzu, his little daughter. What's wrong with you?
Wait, that's a girl?
Yes!
It says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings?
That's his youngest kid is his daughter named Zuzu.
This sounds more like a phone call.
Stay on target.
This sounds like a phone call that should take place away from this studio.
Wow.
Where you have plenty of time to discuss all the things that no one else cares about.
But we can all agree, Christmas Vacation, best Christmas movie, right? We saw that last time.
Sure.
Some birthdays for you. Phoebe Cates. Will Ferrell. He's in a great Christmas movie. Elf.
Sure.
He plays Tiny Tim.
Sure.
Corey Feldman. Stuart Copeland. Michael Flatley. Annalyn McCord. And Ed Kowalczyk from Live. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. And your drive home today. It's tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got animal stories. We've got Cheers with Mugs talking about LeBron James. We've got People Are Dumb, a brand new internet roundup. Adam Carolla and your passes for Comic-Con as well tomorrow.